Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net. What we were doing during that beginning part of the theme, but you will probably see the results when the podcast goes up or not. You know what we just did just proves to me once again that late night and overnight shifters could do courses on efficiency.
Time management, yes.
Julian, you're going to stay over there or are you going to wander in here?
You got another mic for me in there?
Okay, you can talk on that one. This is... What we
Don't
were
call
doing,
HR on that, please, just because I said that.
What we were doing during the theme is taking a picture of the assembled multitude that puts this thing on the air every Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So, Julian, do we think we have something savable?
Oh, we have something savable.
Well, he's a professional after all.
So you will actually, Julian set his camera on a timer. So in the picture, you will see Julian and Gabe and Bob and Ron and Brett and Johnny and Moi and like that.
Yeah. Ron, in your newscast, you said today is what kind of Saturday? What's it called? It's the last Saturday you can
super
shop.
Super Saturday.
Super Saturday.
Not Super Bowl Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard it called Super Saturday.
They might have just made it up. I don't know.
I've also heard it called Panic Saturday.
Panic, so now
that works.
I like that.
That works.
I like to think that tonight's show is the show that you all need so you can bake and wrap your presents and de-stress.
Yep.
And right now I can hear people going, yeah, right. I'm on Amazon shopping.
So this is our on-air Christmas party.
Yes.
Everybody is in the studio with us right now.
Yes, everybody that's here on Saturday night.
A little later tonight, Corky Siegel is going to be joining us, and we'll have Patrick Crispin joining us, and we got a lot of surprises. But we have the assembled multitude who help us keep this thing on the air every Saturday night. And
I'm going to start with Brett. Brett, what time does your shift start on Saturday?
It depends, but today I started at 1:30.
Ah. So you're looking at the clock going, okay, enough of this fun. I yeah. really need to go home.
Well, today's my last day, too, so.
Oh, wait, what?
For vacation.
Oh, okay.
No. Heck of a time to tell us, yeah. right?
No, I saw the schedule. I knew it was back for him.
Ah. So you, how do you guys work that? Is it the case of it rotates? That because there has to be someone here over the holidays.
A little bit. As long as there's Bob. Not two people is kind of like the most you can get away with being gone at the same time. And then after two, it gets pretty dicey for everybody else that's mm-hmm. around. So there's not a lot of crossover. We're pretty good about making sure that there aren't more than two people gone at any given time. Yeah. And if there are two people gone, it tends to be for just a day or two mm-hmm. so that it's not too stressful for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, Krista Flores was planning on joining us tonight because she's often here on Saturday night. And I said, well, I kind of would like to have another fee person around. And she sent me a text and she said, you know, I'm moving in 2 weeks and it will probably snow. And I've got to pack my house so I can move to my new house.
And she's moving a fur piece, too.
She is, almost to the Wisconsin state line. And I said, I understand completely. Just pace yourself. We'll be thinking of you. And I'll represent the fee persons.
Okay. As long as you're going home with me, I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. Because everybody has jobs they have to get to, should we get to the important stuff?
Okay.
All right. Santa came in and brought me up.
Santa did a drive-by as we were on our way into the station.
So let's start with, because he'll have to leave this first, I think. I know, Brett, you need to leave, but...
Oh, jeez.
This one is Ron.
This is a big one.
Wow.
This is bigger than my head.
Yeah.
It's not a head. It's not a head, is it?
Santa must have sympathy because we're all on the naughty list.
Should I open it right now?
You can open it right now. Okay. Because what you just said is very funny.
Yes.
It's a head?
Guess what it is.
Well, I can't see it yet. It's well wrapped, though. Very nice job.
And you notice we do the Christmas black for our wrapping paper.
I do notice that, yeah.
I actually like that wrapping paper.
I thought maybe it was a blue Christmas.
Well, our living room is black and white, so.
I envy your living room.
Oh. It's a head!
It's an Elvis head.
But it's not just an Elvis head.
It's an Elvis head for headphones.
It's your headphone holder.
Oh, is that
It perfectly
cool.
fits so you, headphones.
So you prop your headphones on it at home so you
Fantastic.
Don't have to look for them.
Fantastic. Thank you.
But what a funny thing you say. Is it a head?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is a head.
And is there the other...
Yeah.
There is a companion thingy that goes with that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there is.
Isn't that wild, though? It's an Elvis bust that you rest your headphones on. I'm doing the play-by-play for those at home who are going, what?
And you it can looks like it's a 3D printed one, too.
Yeah. It actually looks like
it. It does,
wow.
yeah.
It's wow, not, look at this. This is an Elvis book.
That's a brand new book put out by Publications International up in Morton Grove.
With Elvis on the cover from the 68 special.
They did a really nice job of that book.
And it takes it from you probably know most of this stuff, but it takes it from his early days up to his...
There's the Shotgun Shack in Tupelo. I've been there.
Nice pictures, too. Nice quality
of
paper.
Well, this is fantastic for an Elvis fan.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much.
This one is Brett's. So if Brett decides to leave us at any point, at least he's got his...
All right, my turn. Should I make sure it's right by the microphone? So
yeah, that's
here?
Good. Yeah.
Lots of sound effects.
True citrus.
Yeah, I order my iced tea packets in those boxes, and they come in handy for T-shirts.
I have a T-shirt that with what would be the Godfather, I guess, script from the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the Sound Father with a wave.
It's the perfect font from the Godfather.
Yes, it is. This is fantastic. Thank you very much.
We tried to find a colonel or a captain like the guys call you. Yeah. He said, that's been done before.
Yeah. No, the colonel thing actually is because my that was my dad's nickname when I was a kid at work. Everyone just called him Colonel. So when they kept calling me Captain, I joked. I was like, no, man, I'm a Colonel. So now they just call me the Colonel.
Was your dad in the service? Is that
what? No, I think it's just from Colonel Stonewall Jackson. So that's what I assume it came from. So when I was a kid and I'd go visit my dad at work, no one called him by his name. He would just walk by and everyone would say, hey, Colonel. And that was just...
Oh.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How it stuck. So when they said Captain, I said, oh, no, I'm elevated. I'm a little bit higher. I'm a Colonel.
So now in the studio, we have Elvis and the Colonel.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
All right. You can go home now, Ryan. That was good enough.
We're having an on-air Christmas party, and there are people that need to get back and do things. There is a noise that's coming from your... It's your area.
Really?
Wait a minute, I'm going to turn off your mic for a second.
There it was. Yep.
Yeah. It's almost like a fan noise.
There's something behind me, a fan. Right, Bob? And Bob's like, don't look at me. I don't know. All right, back to gift. You know, we need the sound like of glasses tinkling and...
Oh, by the way, we should say thank you to Lou Malnati's.
Yeah.
We are having pizza and
yes,
and salads and all kinds of goodies.
They did a really nice job. Had a great delivery man. He was he by mistake gave us somebody else's order, and we were already upstairs. And the phone rang, and I knew it was him, and I picked it up. And he said, "Ma'am, do you have wings?" And I said, yeah, I guess I'm smelling wings, because on the elevator, Julian said, it smells like wings. And I said, well, I didn't order them. And he said, please, ma'am, will you bring them back to me? Because I guess some people would say, no, I don't have wings, or no, I'm not going back downstairs. And I said, of course we will. Oh, thank you. Happy Merry Christmas.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, all right, I just made his night.
My question is, were they boneless or were they bone in?
Well, we did have one on the elevator, so we couldn't tell you for sure. But it's funny, on the elevator, Julian goes, I smell wings. Okay. It's like there's a head in this box. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
All right, Gabe, this is yours.
Oh, thank you.
That one is yours in the black and white paper. I was telling him off the air, our living room is black and white.
Yeah.
Which is great for Christmas because you can do pops of red, so I just get black and white Christmas paper to match it.
And when I get home, I'm going to talk to my wife about painting our room that color. She wants to paint the living room.
Uh-huh.
And I know when I tell her black and white, she's going to look at me like I'm crazy. But
oh, that's good.
I'm going to sell that to her.
I'll send you pictures.
Oh, great. That would be a big help.
Because everything matches black and white.
I like the bow tie on the gift box.
Yes, it's a different kind of box, and it's probably something you've never seen before. And by the way, it was fun shopping for you guys, because we're only with you a couple of hours every week, but it's enough to kind of sort of know what you might like. Now, this is different, Gabe.
The look on Gabe's face is...
Be careful. That's a base. Sit the base
that's
down.
That's the base for it.
Okay. Now, lift that piece of cardboard up, and you'll see...
Looks like a smoke detector.
It does. But it's kind of like a... it's got a slot in the middle of the base.
Oh!
Now, sit that in the base, and then underneath...
It's all about that base.
There's a battery.
No trouble.
There's a button where you can turn that base on underneath.
I'll look at that.
It. Now, turn it on, though.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, this is really nice.
And it says?
It says my name, Gabe Salgado.
And it's headphones and a microphone.
And lights up.
So it's plexiglass that's been laser cut into a headphone and microphone with your name.
I like this.
And then you sit it in this base that looks like an oak base. And that's where the batteries are hidden away. And I think it changes colors, too.
Yeah, I think it's a different button.
Oh, yes, it does. Okay, wow. Yeah.
And it'll even slow. So, you know, if it's one of those nights where you're in a mood for something kind of psychedelic, you just let it slowly speak to you, then darken, and then...
I'm going to post a picture on this and send it to my wife. And, honey, this is going in our living room.
Redecorating right
yes.
here.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I like
so
the purple.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy on Etsy that actually, you tell him what you want, and he probably uses... some kind of model to do it, but he does a really good job. Oh, it's even
flashing.
Oh, nice. Well, I've seen about six different colors already.
And so he takes this piece of plexiglass, and it's clear, and then he etches on it, and then the way it sits up on the base, then it lights up.
That is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I like this. This is nice.
This is for...
And
this,
wow!
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that is not a head.
Wow.
That is not. It's the torso. Yeah.
Yeah, this is for the keeper of the big plug.
Who gets the legs?
does he get young
Ron's
Elvis
or run.
Old Elvis?
Yeah, he gets Elvis. Old Elvis.
It's left the building.
It's all dust.
Maybe this is fat Elvis.
You're welcome.
Ron is heading back to the newsroom.
Honestly, when Ron said, is there a head in here, I went...
Yeah, that was...
There's a head in there.
For all you Christmas Story fans, it says fragile.
Yes. That's so Italian.
I thought it was fragile.
It's so Italian. Okay, I'm really bad about taping things.
Holy cow.
I'm not very good either, and I'm terrible at wrapping presents.
Well, I know. I just like to tape them really well, and then the person who gets it goes, well, thanks. We're here all day.
I take pride in wrapping.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. It was for my mom.
Yeah.
She had me wrap when we were younger. She would have me help her wrap. And then kind of pick up on it, and then you're like, oh, yeah. Like,
it's fun.
Well, then you take a little pride. You're like, oh, yeah, I want it nice and tight. And
yes. I was a gift wrapper at Sears at Lawrence Avenue back when I was 16 years old.
I remember when stores used to have
gift wrappers. They don't do that no more. And the guy that came up to me, I'll never forget, as a 16-year-old, he walked up to me with a hockey stick, and he said, wrap this so it doesn't look like a hockey stick. And I'm like,
right.
Oh. And I also was concerned at the time because I would get boxes with diamonds.
Well, like you really did tape this.
So what? And I thought, you know, you could wrap it.
Oh. All right, this has my name on it.
Uh-huh.
And it says keeper of the big plug.
So it's a big picture, matted and framed, and the word across between your name and keeper of the big plug is the word engineer, and every letter is
something different.
A photograph of something different making up the letter.
Satisfying bubble pops.
Yeah, really. We'll have to save that.
I haven't even gotten to the bubble pops. I'm still working on the packing tape.
Sorry.
You would have loved Christmas at our house. Unwrapping. First of all, I have, since we've been married, I've always wrapped my own presents.
Mm-hmm.
But when Johnny's dad would be unwrapping anything that Johnny had wrapped, Johnny's dad always had knives on him. In fact, one time he was stopped by airport security because he forgot to
put one of his... Well, he had a switchblade on him then.
Oh.
Like, really, Dad?
Wow.
Okay, so now you see what I mean by each letter of the word engineer is some different everyday item, a photograph of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I like the fact that the artist, I just said keeper of the big plug, and then she took the big
plug. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. So, there's a name for that kind of artwork where you take pictures of a light post, and all of a sudden that's an L.
Did you take a picture of that? Because we have to show the kids who are listening what this looks like.
Explain to them what this is. Okay. That looks good.
Smile.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas, you guys.
Thank you for helping us pull this off every Saturday night.
Yes.
And thank you for the painting idea.
Oh, good. All right, I'm going to send you pictures of our living room so you can kind of casually show them to your wife.
And now it's been on air, so she can't say no.
Right.
That actually might be easier said than done. Because we both have completely different tastes in colors.
Yeah.
I prefer darker colors. She's a big fan of red, but she also likes, you know, brighter colors too. So And this will be, we don't know when we'll do it. It's not going to be anytime soon, but it'll be
We're going to get you some pictures of our living room.
Well, yes. I appreciate it.
Really.
Hopefully it'll convince her.
And we still have to get to some things for Julian, but
yes,
we got
we
a break for the news.
Yeah, we'll break for the news, and we will continue here. We got a lot coming up tonight. Corky Siegel's going to join us in a little bit, and we will continue with our Christmas party. We will do our shout-outs because we're hearing, I think I'm up to 16 states have checked in tonight so far, and you can get to us at 312-981-7200. All that and a whole lot more coming up after the news here on WGN.
Now, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Boom, boom, boom. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, boom, 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 dashing through the snow. Steve and Johnny on the radio. Ding dong, on the air we go. Seven to zero. Bells on bobtails ring. Making spirits bright. What fun it is to listen to WGN tonight.
Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Whoa, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey! Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. That's our friends from Stormy Weather. How many years ago did they do that?
It's probably 20-plus years ago. And Henry Farag singing lead on that.
Okay, I'm interrupting. I'm doing an audible here. We're still getting that sound. I'm turning off my mic for a second. The only thing you're going to hear is Johnny's mic. Okay, I'm turning mine back on.
Oh, that's weird.
There's some weird...
There was changing of the
gremlin.
Microphones and cords and plugs and such during the newscast, and, well, put up with it, folks. Can you do that?
Hmm.
Now, I was fine. I didn't notice it before. Now that you've brought it to my attention, that's all I'm hearing.
So if you're hearing an odd
It's not our
sound.
Tummies. It's not our tummies growling.
Could we run another microphone cord over there or something? And okay.
Brett's on that right now.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you, Brett.
This is our Christmas party. This is a rare opportunity where we all are actually here at the same time, those who make this happen on Saturday night. And Julian is really our rock. He holds us together for 5 hours.
Stop it.
No, you do.
He's the straw that stirs our drink.
That's a new one.
I'm the Ovaltine in your morning chocolate.
Okay.
You know, Bob, I never thought of you as having a voice of an animated character, but that just did it.
Okay, I'm going to run over there with a sack of goodies, okay?
Okay. And I'm going to turn off your microphone.
All right. Here we go.
I can hear my thoughts again.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
This bag is bigger than me. Okay.
It's not a head.
Guys, yeah. I just hit buttons. Come on.
There's no head in that bag. That's for sure.
All right, now you can turn on six instead of Johnny.
Turn on six instead of Johnny. Now I'm getting a different kind of a hum.
Oh, dear.
That's weird.
Let's replace the hum with some paper sound.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Don't make any noise for a second. I'm going to turn this on and off. Okay. Is it something over in that area that is...
We have a big studio.
Okay.
Oh. You just made it go louder, whatever it is.
This is... Okay.
So Brett's on the run.
Hon, do you want to come over here and stand next to me while he's fooling with that for a second? Just to,
am I okay here?
We're not hearing.
No, we can't hear you.
Oh.
No, literally. So. Well, that went off.
What if I come over here? How's this? If I'm
okay,
over
wait a minute.
Side.
If I do this. Okay.
All right. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
all right, good.
Good.
All right. While they're doing the busy work, trying to get to the bottom of that crazy sound, Julian has a sack of goodies in his hand.
Yes.
Julian, you need a backstory on this. About a month ago, you said something to me that prompted this. And I hope it comes back to you. So go
ahead. Boy. Here we go.
Dig your hand in there.
Okay. I am rummaging through the sack. And we have red checkered
Remember slips. We talked buffalo check.
Buffalo checks, yes. Red buffalo check.
Red and black buffalo
slips
check.
Slips from Old Navy. How about that?
And
let me guess.
Again, it's a big shopping bag.
Is this buffalo?
Yeah, it's a big buffalo in it.
And it is a red buffalo pair of jammies.
Yes, to go with your shoes. Oh. Do you remember what you said to me standing on my side of the studio? You said, if I could wear red and black from head to toe, I would do that. And we got in the car that night, and I said to Steve, we're going to make him eat those words. He's going to have red and black.
You mean wear those words?
Wear those words.
See, that'll teach you to...
So now that is your...
And now we now have the torso. We've got the legs, the torso, the feet in buffalo form.
And red and black buffalo.
Dare I say what's the next one?
And yes, we expect to see a picture of you in that entire outfit.
And I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no such thing as red and black buffalo print underwear.
Is this a bathrobe?
No. It's a fleece. A jacket.
Wow.
So you can, in fact, wear red and black buffalo check from head to toe.
You know what's crazy? You want to know what's crazy? I have a red buffalo baseball cap.
Okay. See? We want to see the picture.
There's something else in that bag, isn't
there? Uh-oh.
There should be.
You spoke too soon.
Let's see. Don't tell me. Are they socks?
They're red and black socks.
Look at that.
That will teach you.
Oh, no. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to wear all this.
You very, very emphatically said to me, really, I love this red and black so much. In fact, we even looked up why it's called Buffalo Check that night, remember? And we were going to talk about it, and we never got around to it. Because I said, isn't that weird that that's called Buffalo Check? They're red and black. And you said, I never heard that before. But if I could wear it from head to toe, and you went like this, head to toe, I would. So there you go.
See, you think we don't pay attention to things you say.
Wow.
He's speechless.
I'm speechless. Wow.
The socks were the ultimate.
Those are great. They look cozy. Look, and they're sold as cozy socks.
Yeah. Yep.
Doing an audible for those that can't see it, men's cozy socks.
In red and black check.
Do you want to take a picture of... Julian with...
Am I stuck on this side of the studio for a while?
It's going to take me a second to put all this on.
You don't have to put it on. You're wearing your Batman Christmas sweater, so we're good.
Here, I'm handing Johnny my phone.
We're taking pictures of everybody's presents, so we can post them and... thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Steve, oh, golly.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I know how to use a phone. Yeah. Your phone is different than my phone.
Same manufacturer, but
different.
Completely
it's just different.
Different
enough.
Same, okay. But different.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Brett is still on my side of the studio, so I'm going to stand over here for a while.
Okay.
Very cool.
Well, I hope you like your Christmas wish came true.
I will never complain about being cold. This thing, I'm gonna sweat in this thing.
Well, that'll be good when you're out for a photo shoot, you know, and you can move around in your fleecy red and black. And if you want to go hunting, you're all dressed for hunting.
Yeah. Or if you want to be on the Red Green Show. Have you ever seen the Red Green Show?
No.
It's from Canada.
Look up Red Green. It's from Canada. It is mostly on...
PBS
stations, yes. Yeah. And it's just the...
It's bizarre.
The oddest collection of human beings from Canada doing strange things. They have this red... What is the name of their club?
Somebody will text us. Because Red Green has a cult following.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he's wildly popular.
I think he was in Chicago about a year or so. Somebody wants to text us, 312-981-7200. It's the Red Green...
possum something club?
Something about possums.
It's been a while since we used to be addicted to the show because it was just so weird.
I'm watching Ron on one of the cameras, and Ron is.
I'm trying to put my Elvis head while it's in the camera view here.
Yeah,
in the studio, and I think I found it. There's a little Garrett's popcorn tin over there. So
okay.
I'm going to place them on there, and so Elvis is going to do the news with me.
Well, cool.
That's what I was doing.
Is he going to be wearing headphones, too?
I can do that, yeah.
Okay.
I can do that. I mean, he may even swivel his hips. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen on this show.
Brett, do we have a diagnosis yet?
Okay.
Okay. Is the patient going to survive, Brett, or what do we think? I'm turning on mic 2.
6.
And there's still a... Okay, turn that off.
Here okay. I am, back in my position.
Yeah.
I felt very weird on the other side.
Okay.
Or I should say I felt weirder than normal on the other side.
Okay. So now you're on mic 6. So for those of you listening, make your adjustments to your radio. Johnny is now on mic 6.
Flip your head.
Even though she is at the mic 2 position, she is using mic 6.
Okay.
So adjust your radios.
Don't confuse me. Possum Lodge.
Possum
Red
Lodge.
Green
yes.
was in the Possum Lodge. I knew it was a possum yes. there somewhere. And that's from an 847 area code. Thank you very much. And listeners, I can't wait for the photos of the play-by-play.
847 says, love the present giving play-by-play. Can't wait for the photos.
Yes, we will have photos for you. And we're not going to require the Julian dress and head-to-toe red and black buffalo check.
We're not?
Oh, darn.
At least not tonight.
Not until next he gets week. The hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you get the hat.
Dig up your hat when you get home.
That'll be the look.
Are you overwhelmed? Are you frightened?
Or are you just whelmed?
I'm adequately whelmed, yeah. dare I say underwhelmed, even.
Really? Well, that'll teach me. You stood right here, and I listened to every word you said, and I took it to heart. Right?
Right.
She sure did. She sure. We'll have photos to prove it.
I'm following your lead, Steve.
Do you think
yes,
we should, or should we not?
Yeah, we'll go ahead.
Okay. There is an addition. We were going to wait till later.
Bob, you recognize this bag?
Yeah.
I'm recycling the bag you used a couple weeks ago.
We're going to wait till later, but obviously we're not waiting till later. So
you're underwhelmed by your red and black.
Uh-oh.
No, he was adequately whelmed. He wasn't underwhelmed. He was adequately whelmed.
That's right.
And
we do have one more show in the year, so who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, I am now we're going from red to blue.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay. I'm running out of counter space here.
I will be overwhelmed if it's Cop Rock, but that's just me.
Okay, and I
just a way for Johnny to get rid of it.
A bunch of little boxes.
Because that's the bag that Bob.
I'm seeing some guitar imagery.
I see a guitar.
And we have a Enya strap for a guitar. Oh, very cool.
So you met the Enya guitar tonight because Steve brought his in. And guess what?
When we're done with the show, you need to wander back down because there is a duplicate of my guitar that has your name on it.
Oh, my God.
In our car.
Wow.
Now, tell me. Are you a little bit more whelmed?
I'm more than whelmed.
Now he's speechless. I'm underwhelmed, whelmed, speechless. We skipped overwhelmed.
About an hour ago, Steve and Julian were playing with Steve's guitar, and the Enya guitar is a fiber...
It's fiber optic.
No.
It's carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber.
I'm sorry.
Way. Yeah.
Fiber optic.
Carbon fiber, which means it is not... it's not going to be reactive to temperatures. So if you want to sit out around the campfire and it's snowing, which is something I'm looking forward to doing now that we're into winter, you can do that with this guitar.
Is it incredibly light?
Very light.
Very light.
Very
light.
Yeah.
Very light. And it has its own effects built into it. Wow. And you charge it like you charge your cell phone with the same kind of charger, which is crazy. So
there was one... awaiting your presence in our car when the show's over.
Okay, so. Overwhelmed.
Okay, now we've moved.
A little audible. I'm turning on Johnny's mic for the rest of the show, so those of you, again, adjust your radios that I am not responsible for turning on the mic.
But we don't have that horrible sound behind us any longer.
because Brett figured out what the problem was.
Figured it out. Yeah, he is the sound father. Bob's the keeper of the big plug, and he's the sound father.
Did we want to, or do we want to? Bob,
can we open these
Bob?
Things? All right.
Okay.
Bob, I'm coming
back. Okay, go ahead. Okay, the keeper of the big plug is wandering back into the studio.
Yep. And Julian opened his gift from Bob, which was what, Julian?
It was a variety pack of Zoa energy drink, which is how Bob is helping me stay awake during some of these shows. Mm-hmm. Not that I need it. You guys are enough to keep me awake.
No, actually, it's when you're doing the day show and then you stay to do the night show.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah.
Or for those Surratt shows that are just...
Course, for some reason, last week, the last hour of last week's show, we hit a wall.
I suddenly looked at Steve and I'm like, I don't have any more words.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
And then at some point, crypto was brought up. I don't know what that was about.
And then I got silly because
crypto was actually previewing what was going to happen in the Superman trailer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See?
There you go.
See, our show is a predictive radio show.
Finely tuned.
Okay.
Well orchestrated.
Okay, Bob's getting back at me because now this is completely taped up.
Well, now that came from Amazon that way. I did not touch it.
I have no clue what it is. And I don't think
that one is not so exciting.
That is it a portrait of Diane Cannon?
Go with the triangular one.
Stop it. Stop it. That inside
joke. It just laughs. Yeah.
Yes, that inside joke about Diane Cannon that invariably when Julian plays that hideous laugh of Diane Cannon, somebody will say...
Hey. Let the record show I was standing right here.
So now Steve has the ability to do that, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Okay, now.
Also came from Amazon that
this
way.
This is a triangular box. This is interesting. It's a map.
It is.
It's got push pins.
For your shout-outs.
Oh,
that's a cool idea.
Will they let us put it up here someplace on the wall?
Well, if we leave it in the corner, I think we'll be fine. The other thing that is so heavy is the tripod that I also bought for you so you can stand up on its own.
I love this.
How cool.
So we can put a pin when somebody says, I'm listening in Nebraska.
Yes.
We could do a pin in Nebraska. Kind of like the days when engineering used to get cards from people all over the world.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that ever happen?
QSL cards.
Yes. Well, and what Mr. Murdoch gets them now. So.
What did QSL stand for?
People are going to be throwing stones at me.
Okay, 312-981-7200. What did QSL stand for?
This is a brilliant gift.
That's a I love that.
It's a beautiful map of the United States, and now we've got a listener in Idaho that checks in, Nevada, Utah, a lot of New Mexico checks in, a whole bunch of spots in Florida. That's awesome.
QSL, according to Google, is an international Q code that means I confirm receipt of your transmission.
It's a ham thing.
A QSL card is written confirmation of the receipt of a radio transmission.
Uh-huh.
Sending cards originated in the 1920s when AM radio broadcasts were new and stations wanted to know how far away their signals were being received.
So rather than QSL, why didn't they call them CRT? Confirm Receive Transmission.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
More universal? Because, if it's a ham thing, it's international. It's not...
Spike could explain it, because Spike is into ham radio.
So this is a tripod to hold the map?
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
We have to find out from Mary and the management people.
I don't want David Hochberg to be messing with my map, okay, when he comes in the studio.
We want to be able to leave our map here.
Yes. So that we can do our shout-outs every Saturday night. That is so cool. What a thoughtful gift. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
On top of Cop Rock.
Right.
That you gifted us.
And Steve hasn't even opened his yet.
Okay, do I have time to...
Yes, you got a minute.
Yep. Okay. All right.
While we're doing that minute, why don't we have Johnny open the gift for you two?
Oh.
Or do we want to do this after the news, rather so we don't rush things? We've got a little...
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm opening this sucker.
Okay.
Just a little thing.
Smells good. Should I have smelled it?
Well, boy, there's the out-of-context quote.
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad. Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how cool is that?
The poinsettia on it.
A neat little clay pot with Feliz Navidad.
Yes. Oh, that's going to go in our kitchen window with my Christmas cactus. We'll look beautiful in this.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to save this.
The Christmas cactus that thinks it's a Thanksgiving cactus since it bloomed on Thanksgiving, but that's another story. Well, this has been fun, you guys. Yeah. Gosh, we will have some pictures posted of the gifts, and we have so much coming up tonight. We just hit the ground.
Corky and Holly have arrived. They're going to chow down on some pizza and goodies.
And it's Patrick's night to talk tech with us in the midnight hour. And we have some surprises coming up and some Christmas music. I know you haven't heard any Christmas music because we've been busy Christmasing here in the studio.
But we have Christmas music and other goodies. And I should stop talking and I should make this do this.
Christmas, baby, you really did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby, you really did treat me nice. Bought me a hi-fi for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. Well, Chuck Berry, Merry Christmas, baby. Bought me a hi-fi for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise.
I was just thinking of the hi-fi we were talking off. Oh, bidet was the subject we were on.
How do we go from hi-fi to bidet?
Because earlier tonight, I was back by the coffee machine setting up the pizza and salad and such.
Yeah.
And it looked like on our receipt, it said, delivered to the bidet. And I thought,
what?
That's kind of odd. And then one of the guys said, you know, there are people who you say the word bidet and they don't even know what you're talking about. And I think that's the case with hi-fi. That might be a term that, what do you do with a hi-fi? Do you mean hi-fi?
High fidelity.
Yes, high fidelity.
Probably think you mean Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I will never forget the first time, my dad worked at Southwork Steel on the South Side. And that at night, he repaired TVs and radios. There was a friend of his who also worked at the steel mill that also helped him repair some of the TVs and radios. And this guy, his name was Elmer Moore. He got the first stereo, Zenith stereo console in our neighborhood. And the demonstration record was a stereo record of a ping pong ball going back and forth between the two speakers. And that's how you demonstrated, this is on this speaker, this is on the other speaker. And that was high tech. This would have been late 40s, early 50s, something like that.
Was it a big piece of furniture, too?
It was one of those Zenith, humongous Zenith consoles.
Because we still have our hi-fi that looks like a buffet. And it's a beautiful piece of wood. I mean, I don't want to get rid of it because it's gorgeous. And when you open the big doors on the front and you grab the turntable and you just slide it out. And I should look in there because my folks probably still have some albums and 45s stashed in the bin underneath turntable.
We haven't looked in that for such a long time.
My dad was a big Ray Charles fan, big Bob Dylan fan. Jerry Lee Lewis, those were his favorites.
Yeah.
So we might find some gems down there.
Good taste.
Yes, very good taste. Of course, so, when I was a kid, I thought, ew, you don't have any monkeys, Dad? Come on.
So we're in the midst of our on-air Christmas party, and Bob Fukuda.
Keeper of the big
plug. Keeper of the big plug.
And now he has the sign to prove it. So if anybody in the family questions you, you have it documented.
I'm opening up a present from Bob. What is this, Bob? This is a...
I had to laugh because I was wondering what the,
it says
the artist
Fender.
Thought when they saw Keeper of the Big Plug.
What is the Fender? Mm. What?
That's a small guitar,
what is
Steve.
This? What the heck is...
Ron, you are a guitarist. You have guitars. You should check out this this Enya guitar that Steve was talking about that we gifted Julian because it's amazing.
This is... Oh, this is so cool!
You done good.
This
Thank
is,
you.
If you're a Fender guitar fan or a fan of Fender amplifiers... This is, it looks just like one of the big old Fender amplifiers, but it's a key rack.
Oh,
so
cute.
You put your keys on the various places
nice.
On the amp. This is too cool.
Yes.
And the keys go onto the plugs because each one of those is a plug.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're plugging into the amp.
That's too cool.
Oh, that's cute. That I would have bought that for you if I had seen it. I really
Very
would
cool.
have, because that's so you.
Thank you, Bob. That is too cool.
Because he has a tray that he keeps his keys on.
Yep.
And the other
Most
day,
people do, and it's just like...
Yeah.
The other day, you walk by and you go, whoa, something's wrong. And then I realized when I was cleaning, I had moved the tray. I was like, whoa. He
yep.
noticed that the keys were just not quite the way he'd left them on top of that tray.
Well, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a little tiny tray. So
I use my dad's filing system. Everything is alphabetical according to size.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
I know
works
right
for
where
you.
It is.
I mean, it's, yeah. it frightens me because I'll say, what about? And you go, well, it's here. And then he starts digging in piles of stuff. And I go, wow, you actually do remember that.
Yeah, and when they make you clean it up, you're like, now I don't know where anything
That's
is.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah,
we had an office over in the Tribune Tower, and people would come by just to look at our office. Even I'll never forget what president? It was a president's Secret Service that took pictures in our office.
Bill Clinton's, I think.
And so they were there. The president was with Milt Rosenberg on the show, yeah. and Secret Service was just wandering the halls, and they came past our office and went, "Whoa, what exploded in there?"
But to be fair, our office was immaculate compared to Roy Leonard's office.
Yes.
Roy Leonard set the standard for something exploded in this office.
But every now and then he would say, I want to see the top of my desk, so come by. I'm giving all of these goodies away.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of really cool stuff. It would be, at that time, it was probably not DVDs, but VHS tapes mm-hmm. that he would get to watch before he interviewed a guest, and books and posters and mm-hmm. CDs and stuff. And so people would line up outside Roy's office. In our office, they were just kind of in awe.
They were amazed.
Yes, they were. And when we packed up to leave the station, we had 28 office boxes of stuff.
Awesome.
And in the basement,
we still have
27.
Some of those that haven't been
because
packed.
I emptied my box, and the other 27, I don't want to touch them. So, right?
But a lot of it is old interviews, tapes.
Yeah, a lot of tapes.
Back
books.
In the days of reel-to-reel tapes.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
books and pictures.
You probably have a box of mini discs back in the day
yeah.
when you would get things on mini disc after we would do an interview.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
and some of the vinyl. That WGN got rid of, that they said, oh,
yes.
anybody want this? And I raised my hand and said, yep.
Yeah, let me go through that before you give it away, for sure. We're going to take a break, come back, and I think we will do our shout-outs. And thanks to Bob, the keeper of the big plug, next week we're going to have a map on the wall where I can put a little pin in the wall when you tell us where
mm-hmm.
you are checking in from. And tonight we're up to 17 states, and you can check in at 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this on WGN.
Whoa!
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say it right now, baby.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
This is our Super Saturday shout-out. Super Saturday called that because it's a Saturday, the last Saturday before Christmas. And a listener pointed out the month of December is we have five Sunday, Monday, and Tuesdays.
Really?
Yeah. So
okay,
take that for what it's worth.
Oh, that reminds me. We're now officially, we've kicked into the winter solstice, right?
Yes, yes. Well, it is officially winter as of now.
Okay.
Folks that are tuned in tonight include Robin in Dyer and Bill in Hobart. Also, I should say, whenever I get to Hobart, I should mention our buddy Chuck Snitchler, who always tunes in, and as I like to say, he's the best friend of this radio station. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chuck. Bonnie in Butternut, and Bonnie and George are in Elgin. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Guy Hatzel is in Ottawa. David Shine and Jim G, Wisconsin. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Gary is tuned in from Ohio. Gary, tell us what part of Ohio so we can put a pin in our map.
Yeah, are we starting the pins?
No,
next
week. We're going to try to start it next week so we can start the year out with our map.
Okay.
I think that'll be fun. Mary Ellen Vance is listening to us in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Mark Lindsay is tuned in Aurora. Mark has been with us forever.
Yep.
Hey, Mark. He's listening on his CC3, and it's the best. Also listening tonight is Ken and his pup named Gus, and they are in Ann Arbor. Arlington Heights is tuned in. Peoria is listening. Scott's in South Dakota. Hey, Scott, I miss you every week. I'm glad I got you in here tonight. Patrick is listening in Dallas, Texas. Also, I like this. Officially, it's Christmas. The Grinch has shown up to groan. Congrats on getting rid of him. I guess our gift-giving helped get rid of the Grinch.
Good.
Or was that Julian? I'm not sure. I'm kidding. Just kidding. Also, I got a long list of folks here, so hang in there. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. Is in Tarpon Springs, where it's only 47 degrees. Arita Reggie's in San Antonio. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. I told you we got a lot of pins that go in the state of Florida. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Donna Youngheim is in Oak Lawn. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Jack Demas is tuned in. He said, I wish you still brought the high school Christmas carolers in. I don't know if they're still doing that because...
I'm not sure.
Paul retired a few years back.
Paul Roush.
Paul Roush from the Woodstock High School Choir.
And there were years when we would have literally 40 members of the Woodstock High School Choir in the studio with us.
And the problem we found out after a few years of everybody coming down with some kind of a bug after the kids were in the studio with us, they were not going to miss being on the radio. So if they weren't
even if they were sick,
they would show up and we would all get hot in a studio where you've got 40 plus people and their chaperones, and they would get a bus and come down here in snowstorms, and it was just so much fun, and we would feed them.
And that was back in the days when Aubrey Mumpower would engineer half the studio and I would engineer the other
yes.
half of the studio, and it was in AM stereo at that point too.
And Paul Roush would do amazing arrangements yeah. for those kids, and they were so talented. Dorothy Orsini is tuned in West Allis. Also, Susie Schimmel in Glen Ellen. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Thank you very much. Tony Brown is in Bloomington, Indiana. Terry Wright is in Batavia. Nancy Nosick is listening on her kitchen clock radio in South Holland. June Grip is in Western Springs, listening on her AM radio, recovering from COVID. I'm sorry to hear that, June. Karen Corcoran is in Berwyn. Bonnie Pierce in Gray's Lake. Jim Smith is in Chicago. Yay! Chicago checks in tonight. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is in Joliet. Rich Wade, one of the Chase twins, he's listening to us in Troy, Missouri. Dot Nearbo is tuned in. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Christine Falling is in Plainfield. Nancy Tomaszewski, I think I got that, West Allis. Tracy Douglas, Savannah, Georgia. Jean Jacobson, Milwaukee. Nancy Kickert, Ellen Maria is listening to us in McHenry. Delphine Bierman's in Chicago. Ron Anderson's in Louisville. Beverly Hermes is in St. Paul, Minnesota. Helen Thomas in Kenosha. Nancy Hollins in Northbrook. Michael O'Connor. He said, what fun. Gifts. Yay. Who doesn't love that? Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Thanks for tuning in, Brian. He's one of our regular listeners. Sandy McCumas in Michigan. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Bobby Danos, our buddy out in Sandwich, Illinois, is tuned in. Larry Mann is in Miami. Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. Dot Nierbo. Jeffrey Welshunts is in Elkins, West Virginia. Sharon Holman, Brian Williams, Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Patricia Human is in Scranton, PA. Michelle Fairfield in Peoria. Margaret McCaslin in Rochelle. Kathy Shanahan and Tom Kazmarek. And just to squeeze in a couple of them that signed in online, let's see.
By the way, I love the picture that Eric Baum sent in.
Oh, he sends us a great picture.
It's the picture of the bridge from Kennebunk to Kennebunk Port in Maine, and it looks like it should be a Christmas card.
Oh,
it's just a gorgeous picture.
He sends a beautiful picture. He sent us the lobster trap tree a couple of weeks ago.
So if you want to see the picture I'm talking about, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show and click on, go down about three posts.
I'll post it.
It's really cool. It's a great picture.
And speaking of pictures, if you go to our Facebook page, if you haven't done that yet, you will see that I did post pictures on our way into work tonight. And the skies were so clear, and it was just such a crispy, cold night. Got some great shots. We got in here in time to catch the 9 o'clock fireworks display, so I got some of those snaps.
And some great pictures.
Also some pictures of the gifts that were given out last hour to our gang here.
Including Ron Brown and Elvis doing the news together.
I'll never forget when he got the box and he said, is there a head in this box? And I'm just trying to hold it in because, yeah, there was a head in the box. It was
two heads are better than one.
That's right.
It's a doubleheader.
Oh, but stop.
you only do two shows a night.
Yeah, I've got Elvis right here. I think I'm going to keep him here and bring him out every Saturday night. So
okay. That works.
Listener says, today's the shortest day of the year. Tomorrow the day will begin to get longer. Mm-hmm. This is true.
That's true.
Yeah.
And let me see.
Lauraville checking in from Ohio. Lauraville, Ohio, Gary says. I said, tell me where you are in Ohio. Penny is a longtime listener in Evanston. EJ is listening in Elgin. The Western Burbs is tuned in tonight. And a listener says, and thank you for this information. I had mentioned as an aside that the gift from Julian would be great for my Christmas cactus that thinks it's actually a Christmas cactus, but it bloomed at Thanksgiving. And our listener pointed out that if the cactus has horn-like projections along the edges of the segments, it's a Thanksgiving cactus. True Christmas cactuses have rounded segments. Well, thank you. I just learned something. Yeah.
And want to acknowledge Karen T. listening from Chicago, who says, I miss your cheap date New Year's Eve show. Love listening to it. We had a lot of fun with that. And who knows if and when New Year's Eve falls on a Saturday night, we may do that again. But
we did it for 26 years.
Yep.
And 26 years on New Year's Day. We used to joke that whatever you're doing on New Year's Eve will set the tone for the rest of your year. And look, we continued to work all those years that we did our show on New Year's Eve. And it was fun because we had an open door and we had so many wonderful people to come in.
And we checked in with different New Year's Eve celebrations from different time zones.
Yes.
Everywhere from, we started with New York. And we went to, New York, Chicago,
Arizona,
Denver, Phoenix, then out in California, the Queen Mary.
In California.
Then in Hawaii and Barrow, Alaska.
Right. I think Alaska and then Hawaii was the last one that we would do. And there were times when we would actually have our buddy Bob Young's brother, who lived on a volcano in Volcano Village, Hawaii, and he would actually broadcast from the volcano. And there were times when it was erupting. Remember the night that he took his cup of coffee and he threw it at his feet and you could hear it sizzle? Yes. Very scary.
And we had some fun times. There was a night that Dwayne Eddy called in to surprise Les Paul.
Yes, that's true.
And
one of our guests that was nice enough to join us many, many New Year's Eves, we're going to be in here in just a few minutes. Corky Siegel joined us many times on New Year's Eve after he finished his show up in Evanston.
But he's got a bunch of shows that we'll find out about, and he'll be joining us, which is going to happen now. Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and that is just one of the many, many sides of the amazing Corky Siegel. That is from a wonderful, wonderful album. It is Corky Siegel's Symphonic Blues Number 6, and that, for those of you keeping track, that was movement number 1. And Corky is nice enough to stop by and hang out with us.
Yes.
And Corky, thank you for doing that.
Thank you, guys. You were nice enough for having me.
Oh, gosh, you're so busy. It just worked out that we were able to sneak you in here because you have so many shows coming up.
Busy?
Yeah. He's like, what?
Well, not really, because if I was that busy, I wouldn't have time to do all this stuff.
Now, I'm going to share a memory for those of you that have been with us for a long time.
Uh-oh.
You know that, we have no secrets from Corky. Corky and I have known each other for years. In fact, we were just, during the newscast, we were talking about we've probably known each other for about 65 years when first went to South Shore High School together.
Mm-hmm.
We first worked together in a band roughly 60, 65 years ago, something like that. And
was that the Aurora gig?
Yeah, that was an
Aurora gig.
Yeah.
Did that feel like you were going to another state when you drove out to Aurora from the south side?
At the Aurora Hotel.
And I was playing saxophone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we've been friends with Corky long enough that I will never forget the night that Corky showed up in pajamas.
That's right.
Over at the Tribune Tower.
Yes. Corky and his buddy Holly came in their stylish PJs.
And you never stopped talking about it.
And our three slippers.
Your slippers, too. Well, the good thing about that building, you just walked up a ramp and you were in the building. You know, you parked out back and boom. Here, it's convenient, but still, you know, you're coming up 18 floors. Got a great view up here. This is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the blatant plug light just went off. So along with talking about some of the shows you have coming up, I want to do a little bit of a blatant plug about the album that we just played a little bit of, Symphonic Blues Number 6. You have, it's a re-released version with all kinds of goodies in this album. So you want to tell the kids how they can get that and what some of the new things are that you've added?
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. What a little... Okay. So, this is a story. I decided that, in general, I was going to give away all my music. And the reason is because the music industry has gotten so good at giving away artists' music that I thought, hey, wait a minute. I could do it even better than them. So I'm giving it away. However, I've raised the price on all my CDs, And this one costs $55, the symphonic one. And there's a lot of reasons why I did it. Really, the main inspiration was to put a value on it, because I think people's recorded music is greatly undervalued. And I just wanted to, well, let me put it this way. People buy a CD for $20. They may never listen to it.
Right.
People buy a CD for $55. I bet they're going to listen to it.
But also for that $55, they're getting a lot of additional very cool stuff. You want to tell about some of that?
So, but I'm not. You know, it's interesting. I don't mind talking about it, but I don't really promote it. It's you could read it and in the fine print. Basically, I want them to just buy the CD for $55, not because of all the additional stuff, but here's the additional stuff. Pretty much all the music I own, I know there's at least five CDs worth of, five albums worth of material. The score to the work. And the CD itself has a narration from me on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It has a solo violin piece, it has a chamber blues piece, and then the rest of it is symphonic. And there's a couple Siegel Schwall things that, it's all digital, but when they buy the CD, they get all the digital wave files, which are high res.
Yeah.
And what people should know, here's something else of interest, LPs are absolutely the worst a sound that you can get, and there's a couple exceptions to that, and that is if they're remastered,
right?
And the new mastering technique or the old mastering technique is better than the one on the CD. That's the one exception where it might sound better on an LP, but on an LP, even though if the music is boring, you get to watch something go around, which is a really great asset. And they're really fun and beautiful. As soon as you play it, they start deteriorating. They don't have the low frequency. They can't have the low frequency. The needle would pop out of the grooves, or I should say the groove, and not a great dynamic range. So the best way to listen to music is a wave file, a digital wave file. Second best is a CD, but the resolution is already greatly decreased, but still better than an LP. So I include all the wave files of all this music.
I've been experienced a lot of wave files.
Johnny is amazed that I'm keeping quiet, because at some point we could have a 10-hour conversation pro and con about LPs, because I'm in the camp that qualification, if mastered correctly and if burned on the right equipment and if played on the right equipment, I think vinyl is wonderful.
It is. I think even bad vinyl is wonderful, but I think good vinyl is even more wonderful.
That was one of my favorite groups in the 70s, Bad Vinyl.
I've not experienced a lot of wave files.
And
so
it's really beautiful stuff. It's really fun.
Interesting you should mention that, because we do, every Saturday night, we record everything that we do here. And we record it onto a thumb drive on a wave file, because we want to have the best possible if we decide to do something, as we may eventually do with some of the live performances we've had, we want it to be pristine quality. So if you're going digital, wave files.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree.
However, as I explain to people, when you have a CD, you have something you could read, you have something you could hold, you have something you could hug, and if it's signed and dated by the artist, you have the artist at one particular level of consciousness in your home.
And if the artist signed it, you have the artist's DNA on it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
You have the artist's DNA.
Right. Wow.
So in future technology, you could create a new Corky Siegel.
No, no.
Grab the DNA and here's Corky. He's back.
Corky, what was the first album you did? Was that a Siegel-Schwal album?
Ever?
Yes.
Siegel-Schwal recorded, I think, well, it came out in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded, this is sort of
interesting. Was that on Wooden Nickel or?
No, this was on Vanguard.
Vanguard.
And the interesting thing about that session is it took us less time to record the album than it takes people to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What?
What?
Because we just played right one song right yeah. after the other without pausing. On the record, there's pauses.
Well, so is that quite simply, was that because of the cost of studio time? So you go in with the intention and we're going to get it done and get out of here.
It was because of the cost of Jim and I not knowing any other way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So just go in and play.
We just
yeah.
went and played. And you know what? When we did all the RCA records, we used the same technique. Mm-hmm. We just went in. Instead of doing 8 takes of one song, we would play a set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take a break, play the set again, have lunch, play the set again. So we'd have 3 fresh takes of all the tunes, and we were done with the album in days.
Wow.
And it cost us like $4,500 I did an album for.
Hmm.
Because that was back in the days when you were using the original definition of a recording. You were recording a studio performance. You weren't doing multiple tracks and everything else. You're just saying, okay, we're going to play, record what we do, and put it out on this recording for people to buy.
Yeah. And on the RCA ones, we did do overdubs
mm-hmm.
at times. So we used... Okay, so now there's another discussion. I always, even with Siegel-Schwal, I always looked at recording as a different art form than performing. I felt it was really important when the players are in the studio that we should have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be using every bit of ability we have for performing in the studio. But we'll use every bit of technology to create a great experience for the mm-hmm. listener. So in those days, we did do some overdubs.
Mm-hmm.
On the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about Siegel-Schwal, we're talking about Jim Schwal.
Yes.
And you guys were together for many, many years. And yeah. we had the good fortune of having Jim back in studio with us not
yeah.
too many years ago. That was a real treat.
Yeah, it was great.
And Corky has just been working tirelessly. You won't believe the shows that he's got coming up. We'll run those by you in just a little bit. And I think Corky has harmonicas with him, and we might even get him to play a little something for us. So stay with us here on WGN.
May your day And may all your Christmases be filled with every color of the rainbow.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that, Corky.
That's Corky Siegel. Corky, how do you sing like a harmonica? I mean, you were sliding just like you were playing.
I don't have a choice.
That was really cool. I love listening to it with my headphones on. We're talking about appreciating sound. That was fun. And who was on piano?
I think that was me.
Cool.
That's
nice.
What I thought.
Yeah.
When did you record? I love that. That is so much fun. It's funky. It's fun. Yeah. When, how, who, where. I just discovered that earlier this week.
Was it a video?
I discovered it on a YouTube site.
I'm wondering if that was with the symphony, where I was doing an encore, and I did that as an...
No, this was... It looked like it was from an album that you did that I think was like a limited release album.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, that was done also in 2022, along with the other three albums, I believe. But I have another song that ends with the same sentiment. Mm-hmm. And so... let's see. And so... I can't think of it now. Let's see.
Well, we'll play it later.
Okay, let me see. How do I do this? And so I'm offering this simple phrase for kids from 1 past 92. And though it's been said very rarely this way, Merry Kwanzaa, oh sweet Ramadan, sparkling Diwali, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas from this Jew.
I love that. I love that.
We try and keep things unified.
You have always defined inclusive. Your music, your approach to performing has always been, hey, come on.
Let's play.
I actually tell the story on the liner notes of the symphony album, where in 1969 I was playing with the New York Philharmonic and Seiji Ozawa. Mm-hmm. And 1969, I was almost booed off the stage because the Lincoln Center audience didn't like the idea of hippies performing with their New York mm-hmm. Philharmonic. But when the piece was finished, according to the president of the Symphony Association, that was the longest and most intense standing ovation he had ever heard in Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the only thing like it he recollected was when Caruso played his last concert. And the next morning, in the newspaper, Schoenberg, this classical music critic, with the headlines, they love Corky Siegel in Lincoln Center. The audience did not merely like it, the audience loved it. And so here I am, maybe 26-year-old kid, 24-year-old, having this experience of music dissolving all this hatred and vitriol mm-hmm. that was in the audience because of, in those days it was called the generation gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw everyone come together in one experience, and I realized this is the power of music.
Yep.
And this is what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So inclusive started very consciously in 1969 with the New York Philharmonic.
Well, your chamber blues is a beautiful combination of talent, young people that are just so good. And I know we've had the good fortune of having the whole chamber mm-hmm. blues oh, yeah. gang in studio with us before. And I'm just in awe of each one of them as a solo performer is just top notch.
And for anybody new to our conversations, we should explain that chamber blues is just what it says. It is blues. It is classical. It melds together, and it's wonderful. Just extraordinary.
How many years have you been doing that, Corky?
Chamber? About 100.
Yeah, it feels like it. Yeah.
Well, I started writing it in 83, so you can do the math, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow.
Let me, before we get too far away from it, the blatant plug light is flashing again, and we should mention you are, boy, are you going to be busy in January? What, Tuesday, December 31st, you're going to be doing New Year's Eve in Evanston at the Nicholas Concert Hall.
Now, you've done Evanston for many, many years, because I know we've talked to you from the Evanston festivities many years. And this year, you're going to be with our buddy Ernie Watts.
Yes.
And that's going to be on New Year's Eve. You're going to ring in the new year. And then you're
going to... And Ernie is listening in to make sure I don't say anything wrong.
Okay. Hey, Ernie. On Friday the 3rd, you're going to Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin to Cafe Carpa. We hear good things about Cafe Carpa. It's a lovely place there.
Cafe Carpe.
Carpe in Fort Atkinson.
With Ernie.
And you're doing two nights there, the 3rd and the 4th. Corky and Ernie Watts will be there. And then on Sunday the 5th, you're going to get over to Fridley, Minnesota. Fridley, Minnesota to Crooners. Yes. And then I love this one. On Tuesday, January 7th, you're going to be in Skokie at the Levy Center, you and Ernie with jazz critic Neil Tesser.
That's cool.
Now, that's an afternoon show. Is there a story behind that?
It's just going to be more of a lecture demonstration kind of a show, and Neil's going to tear us to pieces. And No, just kidding. Neil's going to narrate the discussion, and then we'll play a little bit, you know. So
yeah, that's got to be fun for you too, because it takes what you do to a different level then.
Yeah,
because now you're actually talking about what you do, right?
Exactly. It's fun.
And if you want to find out more about Corky and what he's doing and how you can get his music and where you can see him, go to corkymusic.com. And Holly, am I missing any blatant plugs?
He has more things coming up.
California.
You're going to Berkeley.
California. He is playing at the back room on the 16th and 17th.
With Ernie.
Mm-hmm. With Ernie. And then again on the 19th in Thousand Oaks, which is near Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He's going to be performing there on the 19th. And then I wanted to say Fridley is, it's about 20 minutes from Minneapolis. Okay. So it's in the Twin Cities area.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
And then after this, Ernie and I are just going to bed.
Well, we're going to take a break. So if we've locked the doors. You guys can stay with us a little while longer. Corky Siegel with us in studio. Busy, busy man. We're so happy to have him here as we celebrate the holidays. It's the last Saturday before Christmas.
And Corky has been nice enough to say that you will share a little bit of your music with us. What would you like to do?
Okay. Well, this is something that Holly and I wrote in late 2019, very late 2019. Probably finished it in early 2020. And it's something I do on the piano. And I really wanted to do it, but you don't have a piano, so I'll fake it on this. So good luck. This is a premiere. A world premiere. We are one like raindrops falling into the ocean. It already is what it will become. And when we part and our part is done, we will still be part of one. There's so much love that gets lost in the dust. With so much division, so little trust. What can be said to keep us afloat when we can't see the shore and we're all in one boat? Oh no. with one big hug. We'll hold each other tight. We'll close our eyes so we can see the light. For deep inside, we know we care. So we'll offer up our better angel's prayer. Oh, yeah. May you follow the truth wherever it leads. May your actions be steeped in only good deeds. May joy flow from you with every breath you take. May you live only in love, for goodness sake. That's a better angel's prayer.
Someplace.
Thank you, Corky. Yeah. That was special.
I can't imagine that on piano. That's so sweet on
and Ernie. With Ernie on piano.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was nice. That was special. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, guys.
So I see you have a show coming up in springtime with the Naperville Youth Symphony Orchestra.
Maybe. we haven't heard back yet.
When you're playing with a group that you've not ever worked with, unlike Chamber Blues, how do you do that? Do you go in and read them and see what their skill level is? Are you on piano? Are you on harmonica? Or both?
With the symphony, when I do William Russo's street music, it's harmonica and piano. When I do this piece, Symphonic Blues number 6, it's just harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you an example. There was one symphony I played with where the conductor apologized for the members of the symphony because he said, we don't have auditions, and they're not actually playing really well in tune.
Oh.
And I said, great. This is real music. This is the community getting together and playing music together.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Doesn't have to be perfect. Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
So you go in with an open eyes, an open heart, and say, let's just make it happen.
I don't even think in those terms.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Because I think if I think about, well, I'm going to go in with an open heart, then my heart's not open.
You don't want to be disappointed. Yeah. Corky Siegel's got New Year's Eve show. A listener texted and said they've gone to that for the last 10 years. And I know you've done it at least the last 10 years, right? On New Year's Eve in Evanston?
Something like that, yeah. It seems like 50 years, but I...
It's been more than 10 years because of...
You were doing that back when we were over in the Tribune Tower. And in fact, there was one New Year's Eve you came down and joined us in the Showcase Studio after the Evanston's first night.
Yeah. Wow. Am I that old?
What does that say about us?
Ernie, what am I going to do?
So Corky's New Year's Eve, that's in Evanston at the Nicholas Concert Hall. Corky and Ernie Watts will be there.
We've got so much stuff we want to cover, but we want to jump to one of our phone calls, too. And Brian, you're on WGN with Corky. You had a question?
Yes, just very quick. I would love to hear more of Corky playing and your conversation with him. I wanted to ask about a record that I got in... I think it was in the 70s, and it was called Three Pieces for Orchestra and Blues Band.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic, and I lent my vinyl copy of that to a girlfriend, with whom I promptly broke up. And
she kept it.
It took me 20 years to find that album again. And I wanted to thank you for it, and can you tell me when you recorded it?
Yes, let's see. Let me go back. So we started writing it in 1966, William Russo. And in 1968, we performed it, the premiere with the Chicago Symphony. And that was the one I also performed in 1969. And then... we recorded it in 19... You know, it came out. It was released in 1973. I think it was recorded in 1971. That's my
guess. Only reason I was able to hear it is that station that used to be at 98 on the FM dial, the WSDM, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, smack dab in the middle.
The station with the girls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Living with Viv. Kind of Living with Viv.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, you're right. They used to play it a lot.
Yeah.
That's a great memory. And my memory goes back to about that same time. I've told you this story before, Corky. I was at the University of Tennessee, and I carried my Siegel Schwal band album with me.
Wow.
And... in my dorm, the girls were like, "What's that?" And we became known for singing "I'm a Hog for You, Baby."
Oh,
that
wow.
was our song on our floor because it was on that album.
Wow.
Yeah, that would have been 1974, 75. Yeah.
And that was a Stiller and... What's the songwriter?
Oh, Lieber and Stoller.
Yeah,
Lieber and
Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, the people that wrote Hound Dog and a whole bunch of things for Elvis. Right.
And I got to have lunch with Mike Stoller. That was fun.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Yeah.
Boy, the stories they could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Corky, a listener wanted to know if you're still recording. Yes, you are still very, very actively recording. That's what we were talking about when we started out tonight with a piece on a CD that's available.
I'm recording right now because I'm sure someone's out there recording this.
Well, we are, so there.
Well, when you're not working on your own material and when you're not rehearsing with Ernie, who are you listening to? Like if we were to go into... your record, CD, collection, whatever, who would we find?
Well, you should know that I have music spinning in my head all the time.
Yep.
So
and my favorite thing to do is nothing. So if you come and want to listen to my collection, it's silence.
Okay.
You'll hear silence.
All right. Here's for I'm, from this angle, I'm going to share a story about Steve, who always has music playing in his head, to the point...
As I call it, the jukebox in my head.
Yeah.
But to the point where I can hear his teeth tapping, and I'll say, "What are you playing?" And he doesn't realize he's actually tapping out a song.
And I'll be doing like a...
And his teeth are tapping.
And I don't know that I'm doing that.
And I'm like, what? You're playing a song in your head and you're playing along with your teeth?
Okay, but the other thing, and I forget who we were, we were talking about this with a former program director, Mary June Rose. I don't know if you can do this, and I do this mostly with older albums. Like if I'm in my head, if I start playing the first Elvis Presley RCA album, okay, I get the keys right, and then as the songs transition, I get the transition keys right, too. So, and I don't know why I do that. It's just that it is so imprinted on the hard drive in my head that I can go through the album, and I can make the key changes along with the different songs.
You're crazy.
Thank you. Well, yeah, that's a separate discussion,
Corky.
Just, I look at him like, I'm just listening. What? Why am I not having this extrasensory experience?
I just do it the normal way with my feet.
Tapping with your feet.
In the middle of the night.
Well, yes.
What are you wiggling your feet? What are you playing?
What are you hearing in your head?
Yes. The foot is going, and I do the same thing. Okay, so what are you playing now? You
know? Well, if we pull up next to a car where they're booming music, Steve likes to tap out an opposing beat on the steering wheel.
If we pull up next to a car and they're blasting something, I will never acknowledge them. And I will go out of my way to start tapping my finger as if I'm listening to something incompletely, and they turn up the volume, and I'm still completely tapping in a different beat, not acknowledging them at all.
It's one of your small victories in life, right? Yes.
Hey, you grab them where you can.
A listener wants to know if Corky has ever worked with Howard Levy, who's a dear friend of all of ours.
Worked with him a couple days ago. And I've just like I do duets with Ernie all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of duets with Howard,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, Ernie and I and Howard played together. In fact, we were supposed to play in Arizona. We had a gig there at the museum, the mm-hmm. music museum, and the three of us, and COVID.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was my one-word explanation.
Yeah.
And we never were able to yet rebook it because we can't get the three of us all together at one time.
Mm-hmm. He's a very busy guy, too. A fan of Randy Sabian checks in, and you've worked quite a lot with Randy, right?
Yes, and I do a lot of duets with Randy.
I think you've got a show coming up with Randy that's already sold out.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I saw, let's see, real quick, let me see. Oh, yes, that's Wausau, Wisconsin. Corky and Randy Sabian, and that's on March 29th, already sold out.
Oh.
That's yes. Right.
So all four people showed up.
No.
I think not.
By the way, for anybody who's wondering who that other female voice is, that is Corky's buddy Holly, and we'll go on the Wayback Machine. You first met each other when and how?
Valentine's Day. I was a graphic designer, and mm-hmm. Corky needed a project, and it was for a new group he was putting together. It was the Corky Siegel Band, and he needed a logo and a poster and marketing materials for that, and he came to the studio, which was at the 410 South Michigan mm-hmm. building, and I opened the door, and he said, "I think we're going to be spending the rest of our life together." And that was it.
It even amazes you, Corky, that you were that smooth, right? You're like,
what
wow.
a line.
Wow.
Hey, it worked.
And how many years ago was that, Holly?
It was, let's see, that was 1981.
42. Mm-hmm.
42 years ago. It feels like 43.
Well,
my first line to Johnny was in an elevator at the old WIND building. In the elevator.
I was scared.
She didn't know me. I didn't know her. standing next to each other in the elevator, and I just said, anybody ever told you you look a lot like Jackie DeShannon?
And I went, oh, I like her. And then you followed it with, and you smell good, too.
Yeah. Well, but then the elevator door opens.
I stepped
she
out.
Gets off, and I'm following her.
And, I was
and
like,
she's going down the hall,
oh,
and I'm following her. And she goes into the radio station, and I'm following her. She didn't know that I worked at this. And she goes into the office, which was my office, too.
So it was I'm just, like, oh, my gosh. This crazy man is following me because I smell good.
Oh.
And then I found out that I was actually filling in for him while he was on vacation.
Oh, my God. That's
and I was
hilarious.
Like, oh.
You were filling in for him, for Steve?
For his show. I was going to do his show while he was on vacation, and that's why I was in the radio station. And here I think this crazy man is following me off the elevator because I smell good and I look like
Jackie. Well,
it
was that, too.
That's Oh, thank you.
That's brilliant.
And it was about the same many years ago, too, Holly.
Wow. Incredible.
So things were happening in Chicago then.
Apparently. Cupid was busy.
That's right. And anytime you can say you've got 40 years under your belt.
Yeah.
That's and that's together all the time, because like us, you guys are together all the
that's
time.
Right.
Yeah. I'm
like
pretty together most of the time.
Corky, we need to talk.
Okay, you guys are going to be busy doing a whole lot of things over the next couple weeks. For the holidays, what year-end holiday thing do you two have to do? What is a tradition? Is it a place? Is it a meal?
Is it a food? Is it a drink?
What?
Well, we sing... the traditions we choose are not once a year.
Well,
they're constant.
I was afraid you were editing yourself. Like, should I say this?
Go ahead, Holly.
Well, you know, we have a tradition for Valentine's Day because that's when we met, and we go to Le Creperie for Valentine's Day because that was also our first date. So that is kind of a tradition, is to go to the Creperie for
Valentine's
Day. And
it's nice that they're still around, too.
I know. We have a tradition with Ernie and his wife, Patricia, because we spend a lot of time with them. We sing Oh, What a Beautiful Morning every morning together.
Oh,
okay.
And Ernie's birthday is one day before Corky on October 23rd. Corky's October 24th. And Patricia's birthday is one day before mine in November.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
November 19th is mine, and one day after is hers, and hers is November 20th. So,
well, we're talking about Ernie Watts, who's going to be on stage with Corky in Evanston, and then if you're in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, Cafe Carpa on the 3rd and the 4th, and then they're going to scoot up to Minnesota to Crooners in Fridley, Minnesota on January 5th, and Skokie on the 7th, and you can get the complete rundown at a Corky site, corkymusic.com. Right?
Got it?
That's
right.
That's right.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much.
We'll
thank
you.
It was always fun to have you guys join us.
Get home before you turn into pumpkins at midnight. Okay?
Right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
So great to see you.
Nice
Bye.
To see you. Happy holidays.
Bye. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Well, everyone, it's that time of the year again. And Santa, I hope you're listening, because this is my holiday wish. Your kind of Christmas might be snow-covered trees, sleigh bells ringing in the distance, or angels praying on their knees. But my dream of Christmas is five naked ladies dancing in a window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, hey Joe. I'd settle for three, but it just wouldn't be Christmas, not the way I remember it. No, it would not be the same as all together now. Five naked ladies dancing in a window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, hey Joe, come on up here in this window and fiddle with our mistletoe. We'll do things you won't believe on this wonderful, marvelous Christmas Eve. They will clear my path, they will light my way, they will warm my soul on the coldest day. They will live forever, they'll fail, no, never in my dream. Santa, hear me, hear my plea, I need just naked ladies dancing in the window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, hey Joe. I'd settle for three, but it just wouldn't be Christmas, not the way I remember it. No, it would not be the same as all together now. Five naked ladies dancing in a window, calling out my name, oh, yelling out, hey Joe.
Okay, now it's officially the Christmas season.
Oh, we've had so many people say, are you going to play that, you know, that Naked Lady Christmas song?
And for those of you who don't know, I'll give the history, because Julian, you had never heard that before, right?
I had never heard of it until yesterday.
When Bob Kessler,
yeah,
in the newsroom,
he told me to tell you guys, hey, you should ask them if they're going to play that song. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Bob was our producer back then.
Right. Little history. The man who did that song, Joe Martin, is a cartoonist. If you ever saw
Mr. Boffo.
Mr. Boffo or Willie and Ethel, Joe Martin is the guy who draws those cartoons. So, years ago, in the middle of July, we were interviewing him. This was over at the Tribune Tower.
Remember, he walked in with a keyboard.
He walks in with a keyboard, and this is the middle of July. And he said, well, it's so hot, I've been working on a Christmas song. And somewhere we have the original demo that he did in the studio with us of that song.
He said, as I was driving down from Wisconsin, I thought, this is a good way to cool off. Because we were floored when he walked in with a keyboard, because we had no idea.
We thought we were going to interview him about some of his Mr. Boffo books or something like that. We didn't know he played or sang or anything.
We were big fans, still are big fans of Mr. Boffo and Willie and Ethel. But this took it to a whole new level. It became a tradition for us to play My Dream of Christmas. Now,
and we have to do a shout out to Stacy Friedman.
Yes, who was our traffic maven at that time. And she could be in the worst mood, or she could be sleepy. I mean, we were working 5-6 hours overnight. Mm-hmm. All it took was to play that song, and it was a mood changer.
Yep.
Immediately. Now, you can get your hands on it. I checked, and you can go to Mr. Boffo, BOFFO.com, mm-hmm. and you can download your own copy of My Dream of Christmas. It's right there. In fact, remember, it became so popular, he actually burned CDs and did a funny cover on the CD. Julian, the cover of the CD is one of his cartoon panels, and it shows a guy in the snow. And he's snow blowing an F into the snow. And his buddies are standing there looking at him. They go, well, I think Carlos is quitting today because of the big F that was in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made the CD available with just that song on it for a couple of years, but you can download it. It says, I guess it is still based on this. It says, Joe Martin is available on CD. This site is real audio enabled. You must have Real Player installed on your computer to hear it. Remember, Joe was one of the first people.
He started using, in fact, you can still do it. I believe you can still do it on Willie and Ethel. There is a QR code.
Yes.
You click on the comic strip, and you will see additional animated stuff.
That had to be...
Oh, and this was...
That 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were like, a Q what? And I remember the very first time we opened the Tribune, and we said, well, it just looks like a bunch of squiggly squares. And he said, yeah, but if you put your mouse over that, you will see other things. It was really wild. We got to track him down because he was so much fun. I mean, he has this droll sense of humor.
Yep.
And we would have him on many New Year's Eves, and he would just, he was funny because he was just so dry, just so dry and strange.
Well, speaking of being dry and strange, our thanks again to Corky Siegel.
He would love that.
Corky is, I've been fortunate to know Corky since our days in high school together, and then in one of my early bands together, we worked together roughly 60, 65 years ago.
Amazing.
And he is just, it's a level of talent that is so far above the norm.
He was telling us off the air the very first piece that we played. He was telling us about how that was recorded and how he took all of the performers into the studio and they performed individually, and then he brought them together because he wanted to have what would be the equivalent of a solo performance, so they would up their game and perform that way, and then he melded them all together, which is just brilliant. Like you said, he thinks about music in the most creative ways.
Oh yeah. And I text him 630, says, I think Corky is on a par with Howard Levy. Yeah, absolutely. If you ever get the chance to see Corky and Howard Levy together, you will be seeing harmonica
genius.
Magic as good as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. A listener said, Corky makes new musical sounds like I never heard before.
Yeah.
That's what I blended two texts there. I ain't never heard this before, and this is true.
Julian, you'd never seen Corky before.
First time meeting.
So I have to ask your first impression.
So when I first met him, it was out in the hall around the pizza.
Right.
And he goes, what did he say to me? I forgot what he said, but he thought I was Jewish, and he said something in Hebrew, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I was so thrown off by it. And then he goes, oh, who are you? Are you a guest? Are you going to be on the show today? I go, no, I'm Steve and Johnny's producer. And then he probably shook my hand.
Well, back to Bob Kessler, who is your midday news guy.
Right.
When he was our producer, he was not playing harmonica. And as a result of Bob getting to know Corky and Howard Levy through our show, he eventually started taking lessons from Howard Levy, and I think he also worked with Corky.
And from Corky, yeah. He took lessons from both of them.
And now he's a darn good harmonica player himself.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He always puts a little smile on my face on Fridays at the end of John Williams' show.
Yep.
That's right, because he plays for the Brighter Side of Life on Fridays. Yes. We're going to take a break. Coming up in the midnight hour, we'll talk tech. There's a lot to cover with Patrick Crispin.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Patrick and the Crispins hop on a plane on Christmas Day. And they
So 1 week from tonight, they'll be in studio with us.
Yes, because they're coming to our house on Christmas Day, and they're going to stay with us through the new year, which is just a real treat for us. We're tickled because we'll have 8-year-old Joseph there I'll have things to do, art classes and clay and I enjoy it so much because it's an opportunity to do creative things that I have an excuse of having an 8-year-old that I'm doing these things with. I say, don't we want to play with clay again today? And he goes, yeah, okay, Gigi, let's play with the clay. Like he's humoring me. We'll take a break. We'll come back here in just a bit on WGN.
Everyone is warm inside their houses in the snow. The mercury is dropping down to minus 10 below. Outside it's chilling, but inside it's thrilling, with fireplaces burning and records that keep turning. Gone is the green grass, the trees have turned brown, the sky has gone gray, it's now winter's day, the parks
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It's Tommy Rowe. It's Now Winter's Day. And as of 3:20 Saturday morning, the winter solstice began. So we are now slowly turning around.
Shortest day was Saturday. And yeah, things take a turn. That song is kind of sad, though.
It's like, I always like that song.
Oh, Winter's Day.
That was really an odd song.
Yes.
For Tommy Rowe, because this was roughly 66, 67-ish, about the time that he was doing things like Jam Up and Jelly Tight. And he comes out with this, and I loved it. I loved the orchestration. I loved everything about
beautiful.
It.
And he didn't write that, did he?
I'm not sure.
Because the lyrics are pretty deep. I mean, a long way from Jam Up and Jelly Tight, that's for sure. Oh, the sweetest text from 815 from a truck driver. Been feeling kind of scroogey. Not scroogey, but scroogey. Been feeling very Scrooge-like. Your show tonight has turned that around, from the gifts and unwrapping jokes and laughing to the music coming off the breaks. Job well done, as always.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, bless your heart for taking the time to send us that text. And thank you for doing what you do, too, because it ain't easy. Gosh, and I want to thank the folks who took the time to send us good old-fashioned Christmas cards.
In case you wonder, we are snail mail friendly.
Yes, we are.
And in particular, we want to mention our friend Pat Powers.
Yes, Pat Powers from he's from Iowa. Duncombe, Iowa? Oh, forgive me,
Pat. Pat's yelling at his radio right now.
But he is he's a radio rock star.
He
in
is.
Iowa. He is such an interesting guy, and we're tickled because he tells us that he tunes in on a regular basis on Saturday nights. I've just opened up his newsletter here. He said, I turned 65 last March 7th, and he went back to New York City to celebrate his birthday, and his picture was taken in New York at Sardi's. And he said, well, he's still working in the radio station. Oh, KQWC
Radio in Webster City, Iowa.
Yes, yes, yes. That's our friend Pat Powers. Thank you so much for your card, Pat. Also, Beverly Goodall, who obviously knows us because she sent us a Mickey and Minnie card.
Yeah.
And she wrote him next to Mickey and her next to Minnie, and all the best. And she says, love from a big fan, Beverly Goodall. So glad you are back on the radio. I've got to take pictures, more pictures of my kitchen, because an early Christmas present arrived, and I had to put it to use. Are you ready for this, Julian?
Oh, I'm ready.
You know, I have a Mickey Mouse kitchen, right?
Yeah.
My cabinets are white. I had black ceramic knobs. The black ceramic knobs are now black Mickey heads.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yes. You are so right. I mean, it looks awesome, doesn't it?
It really does.
Again, thank you, Etsy. That's where you found them, on Etsy. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we have like 30. You said, get them.
Yeah.
And so they.
Why don't you go ahead and post that one picture you did of the kitchen?
Oh, I will. I did a close-up the other day of the cabinets because I wanted to share it with anybody who is a Mickey fan. Margie Ritchie remembers us every holiday. Oh, my gosh. Glendale Heights, again, thank you, Margie, for always remembering every holiday. And you can tell she shops for our cards because mine usually have frogs on them or Mickey and Minnie. Mm-hmm. Yours usually have music or guitars on them. So thank you, Marge. George Simonson, as in George and Bonnie in Elgin, sent us a sweet card. Thank you for that. And also, Linda Sue.
Oh, Linda sure. Sue, Linda Sue. Thank you, Linda.
Buddy. In fact, she writes two longtime listeners, Big Sis and Little Sis, Linda Sue of the Johnsons, sent us a Christmas card.
And Linda has, she had some health challenges over the past year, but she's doing well now, and I'm glad she's hanging out with us because she's been with us for years. Linda, back in the day, there was a Yahoo group.
A very active Yahoo group.
And Linda
thousand people in that group.
Yeah. And Linda was one of the first people in our Yahoo group.
And you remember how that Yahoo group started when you were housebound. That's when it started. You wanted to reach out to
you
the
could
listeners,
be right.
And we didn't have Facebook then.
Yeah.
So we were off work for five months.
Yeah.
While you were recuperating,
that was when I was diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis.
And you would be up in the middle of the night, and you said, "I'm just going to start this group and see what happens." And by the time we came back to work, we were. Looking at a couple thousand people that were in that group. Very
active. And by the
way,
for those of you who don't know, autoimmune hepatitis has nothing to do with alcohol or drugs. It's an autoimmune disease. Basically, your body decides to kill your liver. And I've got a couple autoimmune things that I deal with. But I mention this not to say, oh, poor me, because it's far from oh, poor me. I'm alive and well and having fun on the radio, and I mention it to point out to people who are newly diagnosed with it, you can, I won't say overcome with it, or overcome it, you can live with it.
Yes, and thrive.
Yeah.
And I think we've learned with all autoimmune diseases, once you know what it is, life is so much better, because autoimmune diseases can be baffling. Absolutely mind-boggling, terrifying.
They're a strange category that a lot of doctors don't understand or don't want to take the time to understand.
And oftentimes with autoimmune diseases, there are years of misdiagnosis until you get to the culprit. And then when you do, wow, life changes. Yeah. And oftentimes it's for the better because you know if there's a medication you need to take, or in your case, a diet you need to be adhering to.
Actually, in my case, both. Well, one for celiac and one for autoimmune hepatitis. The diet addresses celiac, and there is some medication that I will be on for the rest of my life, but I'm here to tell the story. So how bad is that?
That's right. And Lord willing, we'll be back after midnight as we slip into the Sunday morning hour.
Santa's been good to me, but I don't want the same things anymore. Time goes by and things change. You won't get away with a new skateboard. Sally wants a new case for her phone, and Johnny wants a rock and roll guitar. But I'm not going traditional. Give me something for a check through the stars. I want interactive media, electronic interface. Give me something that makes me feel like I'm bending time and space. I want a GTX 980 Ti. I want tech for Christmas.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I want tech for Christmas. So there.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, we are going to segue and start talking about tech and problems and who knows what else with the man who is the Director of Educational Technology of Keck School of Medicine of USC. And more importantly, he is the father of our grandson, Joseph, who will be in studio with us this time next week.
Woohoo!
Patrick Crispin. Woohoo! Hey, Patrick.
How y'all doing?
Good.
It's great to hear you.
You too. So you guys are heading this way on Christmas Day?
We are flying out on Christmas Day. To everybody who is working Southwest Airlines, thank you for working on Christmas Day. We really do appreciate you.
Yes.
We're going to be flying from Burbank out to Midway and then driving up to see you guys.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's a nonstop flight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun trip.
Of course, Southwest and every other airline could have done better about ticket prices. They were absolutely obscene until you got to Christmas Day, and then they were like, oh, well, that's reasonable. And in Joseph's case, he thinks flying on an airplane on Christmas Day is a gift. So
he is looking forward to Santa giving him that.
That's right.
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff we need to talk about. One thing I want to jump in with, because we had an unusual experience earlier this week. And I was surprised that it didn't make more of a wave than it did. This past Wednesday, Johnny was
in the bank.
I was sitting in the car, and I'm just kind of tuning around. And we have, along with the AM and FM, we have a Sirius XM. And all of a sudden, Sirius XM goes away. Not just the audio, but it completely went off the dashboard in the car. And I went back and forth, and I'm tuning around saying, what's going on here?
I got in the car, and you said, did you pay the bill? And they said, yeah, we by the year.
And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, it comes back on.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about 2 minutes, it goes out. And I'm thinking, okay, is this a problem with our antenna or something else? And I asked Johnny to go ahead and check Down Detector, which is a website that gives all kinds of wonderful information if there is a problem with something. And you checked Down Detector, and you found out that there was a major surge in Sirius XM outages all over the country.
Yeah, yeah. Down Detector, what it does for me is it doesn't fix the problem. It makes you feel like you're not alone.
Right.
Because we've had our alarm system to malfunction. I go to Down Detector, and I go, oh, the rest of the world is dealing with the same problem. So, Patrick, that's basically what it does. I mean, you're not going to change things. It just kind of reinforces that you're not alone.
And
basically all it is, you just go to a website and it tells you right now there is a particular website or service that is not available. The way it works is it's not automatic. In other words, people are reporting. You go to Down Detector, and if you can't connect to a site, you say, hey, I can't connect, and here's the problems that I'm having. So the first thing you see if you go to downdetector.com is a big red search box at the top, and it says, which service are you having problems with? Because you get to report which services you can't connect to, and then they aggregate that data and create, so you can see right now there are some people with Verizon had some problems today, and Apple Pay had some things, and you know you can just see who's down and who's up at this very minute based on public telling you what's working and what isn't.
And we still didn't find out what the cause was, but we know that it was significant, and it was all over the country, and it was a huge spike in outages, largely on Wednesday of this past week. And
so they should give us a free day.
Well, that, but also it did a couple things. One, I was glad that we know about Down Detector. Two, glad to have in an emergency your good old-fashioned AM radio. Yeah. Thank you very much, because AM radio ain't dependent on satellites, and it ain't going away, which is why you've heard the announcement that we've been running and a lot of radio stations are running, that you should contact the FCC and say, we want AM radio in vehicles, because in an emergency, it makes a difference. It really does.
Amen.
So that was one of the things that we wanted to put on your plate, Patrick. The other one is kind of an odd thing, but we were thinking of last-minute Christmas gifts. And we had something happen to a neighbor of ours that made us think about a techie last-minute Christmas gift that you really should think about. We were telling a neighbor of ours that we've just installed, because you guys are coming to see us, we now have a new TV, a new OLED TV downstairs that we just set up this past week. Okay? So we got that, and we're sharing the information with a neighbor, and they said, oh, well, I just had to buy a new TV.
Oh, I have to buy a new TV.
Because they all of a sudden their TV stopped working. So when the person from Best Buy came out, one of the Geek Squads came out to install it, they said, oh, you need a surge protector because I can see behind your console where the mouse chewed the cords. That was what caused your TV to go out.
Died on top of the surge protector.
Yes.
And he said, and of course the neighbor said, I'm on the phone with the exterminator right then, because that's the first I'd heard about it. And got a new surge protector, got everything all set up real good. And that reminded us of what we thought might be a decent gift idea. You can get Bell & Howell ultrasonic pest repellers that you plug into your surge protector.
Now, we have used these. We first found out about them in Florida, because our car is parked, the car that we own in Florida is parked in our carport, and it's out there year-round. Well, one time we went down, had problems with the car because critters had chewed the wires in the car. And this happened to us twice. Did some research, found these Bell & Howell units, and all you do is you plug them in, and they emit some frequency sound that our ears can't hear. But boy, when we plugged them in, we could see critters scattering, and we have not had one problem since then, and we've been using them for at least the past 2.5 years.
So it's kind of an odd Christmas gift, but it's a could be a fun stocking stuffer. And it'll run you about $35 on Amazon, and you get 8 of them. You could put one in every room of your house in the outlet. But the
put it around where your computer is, where your TV, whatever.
The guy from Geek Squad was saying you just need to put something by your surge protector. And I'm thinking you need to put an exterminator by your surge protector, but that's me. But if it helps, you know, they're apparently attracted to the wiring. And he said the warmth is what attracted them, too. So there you have it. Patrick, you've got a lot to – we're going to take a break. Should we come back and talk about the TikTok ban and the latest on that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Patrick Crispin with us here. Talking Tech on WGN.
In a Wi-Fi powered sleigh, over Zoom we laugh, sending memes all day. Push notifications ping, our smart home start to glow. Oh, what fun it is to sing with a smart watch on your toe. Oh, TikTok trends, viral sends, streaming all the way. Oh, what fun it is to binge on Netflix Christmas Day.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin. And speaking of TikTok, Patrick, what's the latest?
So I need to apologize. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. back on the December 7th, we were talking about the district court in D.C. had ruled that TikTok could be banned. And I said then that I fully expected that TikTok ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, was going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I got that one absolutely right, completely right.
Mm-hmm.
I also said on the December 7th show that there was no way the Supreme Court's going to hear this case until the next term, and we're probably not going to know the outcome until 2026 at the earliest. That couldn't have been more wrong, and I apologize to everybody. Boy, was I wrong on this one, because Supreme Court, like, completely fast-tracked this.
Mm-hmm.
They basically said to ByteDance, the company owns TikTok, you know, okay, we're going to let you jump in here, and we need to have briefs from ByteDance, DOJ, and amici, the friends of the court, let's say December 27th, Friday, December 27th,
wow.
Have all your briefs turned in to the Supreme Court. If you are a lawyer, it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
And to all those lawyers who just lost their Christmas, sorry, replies are due on Friday, January 3rd, and oral arguments are going to be heard on January 10th.
Mm.
So this is a fast, fast, fast hearing. There was a comedian I follow on Blue Sky who actually did say something, which I thought was hysterical, which was, sadly, the court did not require the arguments to be made in the form of 30-second musical sound bites at the professional choreography, because I would have loved to have seen that. But no, it's actually real briefs. The court, by the way, did not stop the ban. TikTok is still scheduled to be banned right now on January 19th. But what they're going to do is they're going to hear what's going on, and then probably after the hearing on the 10th and before the 19th, they'll make some sort of decision. So right now, as of this minute, the law will start producing effects on January 19th. In other words, TikTok is going to be banned everywhere unless somebody comes up and stops it, the Supreme Court or the president. So Ed Markey, who's a Democratic senator, and Rand Paul, also a Republican senator, asked Biden to extend the deadline by 90 days, and no way in hell that's happening.
It's really?
Not going to happen because Biden was behind the ban actually didn't block it. So Trump has said that he is considering reversing the ban on TikTok because the youth like TikTok and the youth were good to him during the election. He also called for it to be banned when he was president, so we don't know what that means. And the other thing is, it doesn't really matter because he doesn't become president until the 20th. The ban happens on the 19th.
That's crazy.
So I fully expect you're going to see a SCOTUS decision sometime before Sunday, January 19th. The key thing is this appeal really is looking at a very narrow question. Does this law that's banning TikTok from being operated in the United States, and it doesn't actually ban it, it just says that TikTok has to be owned by an American company if it's going to operate in America. Does it violate the free speech clause of the First Amendment? There was the U.S. Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, had a great quote. And this is really the heart of the question, which is the First Amendment exists to protect free speech in the United States. Here, the government acted solely to protect that freedom from a foreign adversary nation and to limit that adversary's ability to gather data on people in the United States. So the question is that within their rights? Are they allowed to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think if I were to bet on this, I think the Supreme Court says, yeah, I think the ban goes into place.
I agree, because my non-legal mind says, yeah, this is not a matter of free speech. You can still have TikTok. It just can't be owned by the people who currently own it. So you still have that option in play. And I,
right,
like you, Patrick, I would land on that's kind of the way it's going to play out.
Well, Insult Typhoon, the hack, changed the narrative everywhere. I mean, and if you talk to anybody who knows about national security and national security law, the national security interests almost always win when it goes before the court, even if those national security interests are really weak. I don't think this is weak. So I could be wrong. I was wrong the first time. I didn't think that SCOTUS would hear this until 2026 or but have a decision. We're going to have a decision in about 2 weeks, so buckle
that's
up.
That's crazy, though.
But one of the things that I find fascinating, and I'm not getting into the conservative or liberal politics of this at all. If the Supreme Court says, yep, going away. You got to sell it or something like that. Okay, that's on the 19th. On the 20th, Trump becomes president. Even if he then decides that he wants to reverse that, he would have to go through a number of hoops to implement that reversal. So
I
believe that, that would take... That would take a significant...
Well, the other thing is that when ByteDance appears before the court, one of the questions the court's going to ask, you were told 9 months ago that you need to divest or find a new owner in the United States of America.
Yeah.
You've had 9 months.
Patrick,
tell me what you've done so far.
Patrick, I think TikTok doesn't like what you're saying because you're cutting in and out like crazy.
It's the government.
Oh, sorry about that.
So,
let me try...
So TikTok is kind of
that's kind of it concerns me because I'm thinking, wait a minute, who's listening to this? they're going to pull every other word that Patrick says.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me better now?
No, not really. So let's go on.
You know what?
Okay, let me try.
We're going to take a break, so
we'll let you.
We'll reconnect with you.
Let's hope news isn't broken either.
Great. We started out the show with a few technical.
I'm going to blame it on
challenges.
The same mouse that attacked our neighbor's wires.
Oh, please. You're going to have me freaked out because we started out the show. We had sound problems
Just kidding. Everything in the newsroom is working, I promise.
Okay.
That's me knocking on wood. We'll get back with Dr. Patrick Crispin talking tech because we got a lot more ground to cover here on WGM. So stay with us.
A keyboard, a modem, and maybe a printer. I won't leave my desktop the rest of the winter. I'm telling my baby I want a computer for Christmas. I'll save it, delete it, and then I'll restore it. A scanner in color, you know how to do it. I don't want a cell phone, I want a computer for Christmas.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I wonder how many people are going to be getting new computers for Christmas.
And have we gotten to the point where it's like getting socks? You're like, oh.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We're talking with Patrick Crispin. Patrick, you feeling better now?
I apologize. I have no idea what happened with the internet here.
It's not you.
It was TikTok.
It's the government. Come on.
Yeah, TikTok. I think it may have been the drones.
That's it. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we were talking about TikTok. We were talking about the fact that the Chinese company owns TikTok. Can we transition to the router news?
Yeah,
and the fact that like more than half of the country for home and business have this router.
This is a big deal.
Chinese company owns.
There's a company called TP-Link. It's a Chinese company. And if you have a home router or a small business router, chances are you have a TP-Link router. Because they have about 65% of home and small business markets. They're everywhere. And apparently, the United States authorities are investigating whether TP-Link's devices pose a national security threat. And this is actually particularly in light of what happened with the hacks that happened in the telecommunications companies, where the SALT Typhoon hacks and the Chinese are still in the systems. Investigations are still ongoing, but there has been no definitive public evidence that anybody has presented that I say, oh, yep, that's a smoking gun. I'm saying the word public very heavily here because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors and if there's some sort of top secret stuff going on. There is no official ban that's been implemented at this time, but the United States government is considering, I don't know if you can ban something that's already in 65% of the U.S. homes and small businesses, but it may be a good time for you to think about updating your router's firmware just to make sure that you're up to date and really kind of just making sure that there's less likelihood that somebody out there could hack in. TP-Link actually provides firmware updates and support on their official website. You can just do a Google search for TP-Link update and you'll be able to get a link to that. But keep tuned because it's possible that we could be looking at future TP-Link routers being banned from being imported. If that happens, what will happen is they'll probably just say all the other TP-Links that are out, the TP-Link routers that are out there right now, you can keep using those. We just won't let new ones be sold. Hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen. And again, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the government is looking at doing a ban. And this is interesting.
Yeah.
Patrick, point of clarification. Are TP-Link routers only sold under the TP-Link name, or do they make routers for other companies that are sold under that company's name?
As far as I know, it's only under their name. But if somebody knows better than that, please call in and let me know. But I think TP-Link puts their name on their routers.
Okay.
You wonder how they came upon this thought that you could be vulnerable to bad people in China.
And that's the thing is the public evidence hasn't been there, yeah. But there could be stuff that's being revealed by the NSA, by the CIA behind closed doors saying we may have found how China got into all of our telecommunications network. Mm-hmm. And it's because they didn't patch their TP-Link routers and everybody was running those. So again, we don't know. Nothing's been announced yet. And until something gets announced, just be aware there's an investigation going on. And again, Salt Typhoon, we talked about that the last time I was on the air. You know, a Chinese hacking group has broken into at least 8 major telecommunications companies in North America. And this is not just the United States. It's a low dozens of countries that have been hacked. And as far as we know, the Chinese agents are still in the systems. They haven't been removed. So everybody is paying attention to Chinese espionage right now, and TP-Link could be vulnerable to that.
All right. I want to jump to a listener's question. She sent it in yesterday about two-factor authentication, and it's obvious that Diane listens to the show because she referenced some of the things that you have taught us about two-factor authentication. So you want to take it from there, Patrick? Her question was kind of complicated, but it's all yours.
It's actually a really great question. So imagine that you have two-factor authentication set up on an account, and you've got the username, you've got the password, and now you have to have that second factor to prove that you are you. You may share your username and password with a loved one. You might want to say, okay, I'm going to let you log into this as well. But when they try to log in, it's going to say, okay, but you have to prove that you are the right person. So even if I have a username and password, I'm not letting you in unless you have the second factor, which is very likely going to be a text message that's being pushed to the cell phone that you set up as being the device. And if it's a husband and wife, and the husband's in one part of the house and the wife is in the other part of the house, and the text message goes to the other phone, it's not going to work. So the question really was at the root cause, is it possible for you to set up two-factor authentication so that it works on multiple devices at the same time? And the answer is, yes, you can. What you need to do is first stop using text messages for two-factor authentication. I know it was the first thing we did, and everybody was saying, you got to do text messaging. It's the only way to do it. And a lot of older, well-established companies require you to use text messaging. But again, remember, China is in our telecommunication systems. So if they have your username and password, they can very easily get that second factor and get into your accounts. So it's a big thing. So if you can stop using the text messages, you have to go into the particular sites and say, I don't want to send text messages anymore. I want to use a second way to do two-factor authentication. Google Authenticator is, in my mind, the gold standard. It is a free app. You download it to your mobile phone. And I've got it running on my mobile phone. I think Christine has it on hers as well. And the way it works is you install the app. You log into Google to make sure that you've got, you know, your passwords being, or you, well, the two factors synchronized. You then go to the first site that requires two-factor authentication. You say, I don't want to do text messaging anymore. I want to use Google Authenticator. And it's going to give you a QR code that you scan in Google Authenticator. And that's going to create this one-time timed password that shows up on your screen every 30 seconds, or you get a new number that shows up. So you scan that. And then you go and ask your husband or wife, okay, you come in here right now. You open up your Google Authenticator. You scan this QR code, and you get your own one-time password that's going to generate, and they're both going to be synced to this particular mm-hmm. account. So you're going to share your username and password. So your husband or spouse or whoever has your username and password, and then you both are running Google Authenticator on each of your phones, and each of you have gone and scanned the QR code when you first set it up. And then from now on, whenever you need to get in, you type in the username, your password, and then you open up Google Authenticator and the code works. And you can have multiple devices connected to Google Authenticator. So that's really, really the best way to do it, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm raising my hand for a dumb question. Is that more secure than saying, rather than text me something, send this code to this particular email address?
And that also works. The thing is, you need to make sure that the other person has access to your email address. I honestly think Google Authenticator is the bomb. I've got it so far set up on 20 different accounts that I have from everywhere. I turned off Facebook so that when Facebook sends me those codes are meaningless. I now use Google Authenticator for that. I've got it on Blue Sky. I've got it on my bank. I've got everything now is in Google Authenticator. So you can't send me a text message that says, okay, here's your code. I don't accept those anymore. I use Google Authenticator as my two-factor authentication for all the different sites. By the way, there are other two-factor authentication apps out there. Authy, A-U-T-H-Y, is another one. I just like Google Authenticator because it's everywhere. It's free.
And I get that. But again, for people who, for whatever reason, are more comfortable with using an email, mm-hmm. using an email address would work as long as both parties have access yep. to that email account.
As long as you haven't set up two-factor authentication on that other email account that requires mm-hmm. you to have right. the code to get in.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break for just a quick break, but I want to ask you another question from a listener, and we've never had anything like this before. This is from a gentleman who's been a regular listener, says, I'm having a pacemaker put in January. Patrick, are there any headphones or earbuds that do not have magnets that I can use with my phone? And that's from Don.
Interesting question.
In Lincoln Square. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we got more ground to cover with Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin, and this text from 847. Patrick is the best when it comes to tech. I always enjoy listening to him. I can follow him most of the time, but sometimes I get lost, and thank him for me. And another 847 says, what? I have to raise my hand to ask a stupid question? Well, I do anyway. So, Patrick, we had a text from a listener we talked about just before we broke.
Right. Don in Lincoln Square is going to have a pacemaker installed in January, and he's curious about headphones or earbuds that do not have magnets that he can use with his phone.
They don't exist, however. And let me kind of back up. There are types of devices out there that could interfere with either what are called ICDs, which are implantable cardiovascular defibrillators, pacemakers. And the reason why is they have electromagnetic waves that cause the ICD or pacemaker from functioning properly. If you go and talk to the American Heart Association, they actually say that most of the headphones that are out there on the market today are okay. The headphones do contain magnets, and the magnets can interfere with your pacemaker if they're placed too close. But if you want to keep this from being an issue, as long as your headphones are at least 6 inches away from your pacemaker and you're not storing them in your chest pocket or draping them around your neck, you should be okay. Bluetooth, don't have to worry about Bluetooth, but again, there's going to be magnets within the Bluetooth headphones that are going to be around there. There are some neck loop receivers, so assistive listening devices. If you have assistive listening devices, you've got to be careful because those are much closer to the pacemaker than the regular headphones or the earbuds or the earpods that are out there. My recommendation is check with your healthcare provider. They'll be able to tell you what's going on and make sure if you are going to be using earbuds or anything else, keep them at a safe distance and 6 inches at least from your pacemaker, and you should be okay.
Well, there's a subject called ChatGPT that we could go on for hours talking about. I want to zero in on something that I came across and just ask you why anyone would want to call ChatGPT. I came across what appeared to be like an ad for now you can call, and I thought, why? What? And what does it cost? Enlighten me, please.
So as part of their 12 Days of Christmas, the folks at OpenAI, the makers of ChatGPT, announced 1-800-CHAT-GPT. And now, by the way, I am singing that Cars for Kids commercial in my head.
Yes.
So 1-800-CHAT-GPT. By the way, you can do this in WhatsApp as well. You can do one free 15-minute call per month, and it will talk to you and answer any other questions. I will tell you, if you were a completely, totally dishonest human being, you could, if you wanted to, stand up a whole bunch of Google Voice numbers and get more than 15 minutes a month, but that would be wrong. And I would never, ever, ever recommend that you do that. Honestly, I don't. It's a neat little thing. The only reason why I would see that you'd want to do that is if you have a phone, you can't get the internet, and you absolutely need to know something, and you want to have ChatGPT answered. It's cute. I'm not sure it's as helpful as you would.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's a neat. I mean, but I will tell you that ChatGPT did unveil something back in October, and they released it for everybody in the last couple of weeks. ChatGPT is now a search engine. I've been talking for years to people at USC saying, under no circumstances should you use ChatGPT as a search engine. It tends to exaggerate and make things up. And it turns out now it has a sizing free search engine that's actually really kind of good and even better than Google. The problem with Google.
What?
And I, well, let me back up. Cory Doctorow, and I'm going to try to not say a bad word on the air. Cory Doctorow has this term that he came up with, and I'm going to change a word in the middle of it so that we don't hit the censors, that he calls encrapification. You can figure out what the middle word actually is. And he basically says that when a new service comes up, it tries to be everything for the consumer, and it tries to be just the greatest thing ever. And then once you get locked into it, it says, okay, now I'm going to go here and make it a little worse for you and a little worse for you and a little worse. And I'm going to go and try to get the businesses to come here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be everything for the businesses. And once the businesses are, because they're putting the businesses and the consumers together, then they start making it worse and worse for both sides and try to make as much money as humanly possible. It's true for TikTok. It's true for Facebook. It's true for Google. And Google, I think if for a lot of us, you do searching at Google for almost anything, and it's just page after page of ads or garbage, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, it's annoying. Well, ChatGPT is kind of advertising free. And if you go to chatgpt.com or chat.com, you have to log in. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But you can log in with a Google account. You can log in with a Facebook account. You can also do an email address. Then you search ChatGPT just like normal, but there is a tiny globe icon there on the bottom. And when you go and search, it searches not just ChatGPT and says, make up an answer. It goes out and looks across the internet and does a web search for you and gives you the answer for what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. My recommendation, if you're going to be playing around with this thing, use natural conversational language. We've learned over 20 years how to speak to Google. You got to forget that. It's like, talk to it like you're talking to a person or whatever, saying, I need to know, I'm interested in getting a handheld gaming console. Can you tell me if the Steam Deck OLED is better than the Asus ROG Ally? And what do you see on the internet about that? And it will go and give you a summary with links to the articles and really write you something that is an answer to the question you're asking, because you gave it a question in English and not search language.
Yeah, shorthand.
If that makes
interesting.
Sense.
Interesting.
So it's absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to try it out. I'm laughing at the whole business of calling ChatGPT, but that's just goofy. And real quick, like, I understand that the information they have is somewhat out of, well, not up to date,
yeah,
right?
There's a knowledge cutoff of 2022. There's no current information. If you do 1-800-CHAT-GPT, it's older information, and it's not doing the web search. If you want to do the web search, you actually have to use your computer. Go to chatgpt.com.
Interesting. Next week, when you're in here, and I assume that the boy's going to join you, right?
Of course.
Oh,
he's been looking forward to this.
Okay. Maybe we can spend a few minutes and talk about alternative browsers, because I think that was a great topic, and we should spend a few minutes, because anybody that's on the computer might be interested in an alternative browser.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
Happy to do it.
All right. Great. Okay. Well, safe travels.
So now, how many sleeps before Joseph winds up here?
He's been talking about packing for the last couple of days. It's like, can we pack now? Can we pack now? It's like, so he is as excited as possible.
Only five more sleeps. And we've got about 30 seconds. You had gingerbread cake today, not cookies. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's just say that due to unforeseen recipe following oversights on my part, today's activity of Patrick and his son make gingerbread cookies was changed to Patrick and his son made gingerbread cake. Mm-hmm. The cake is delicious, but it wasn't originally planned to be cake. But let's just say I probably should have read the instructions better. Although,
what? Reading instructions?
Well, I was kind of watching a third grader make gingerbread cookies and
yes, and, but it's fun, yeah. Though I'll teach him how it's done when he's here. How's that?
That'll be great.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks,
have a good
Patrick.
Night.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas. See you soon.
Merry
now.
Next week, Patrick will be in studio.
Yeah,
along with Joseph.
But it's so rare that a bean things work out. But this bad season, damn, it's got me wondering if they can ever turn this team around. Now, 8 straight games I've cried. This team took a nosedive. Just 3 more games until the season's over.
The Bears. 3 more games until the season's over. That's Dave Swirsky.
Yes.
And his latest ode to what's going on with the Bears.
I can't wait till the last game, which is against the Packers. Whoa. Gabe is in the newsroom putting on his football hat, whatever that is, your helmet. So what's your take on this afternoon? At noon, the Bears and the Lions.
Well, first let me say, as much as I like those songs, hopefully people don't come looking for royalties for those. Let's start with that. Although they are entertaining. At this point, yeah. I mean, you know, we want the season to just get over with. We just want to move forward. You know, hopefully get a new coach in that could turn this team around. You hope that there isn't a mutiny where players are going to start asking to be released or traded because they don't want to be here anymore. Yeah. That's a concern that I have voiced for, you know, several weeks that, you know, they're going to become disenfranchised because there's just so much turmoil in this organization.
They just want to leave.
Are you seeing the amount of posts that we are about people saying, we're not sure what condition Williams is going to be in if you keep playing him the way you've been playing him for the past couple of games?
Not only have I seen those, I've even seen people calling for, you know, Williams to sit down for the rest of the year and let Tyson Bagent play. Yeah. And I'll be honest, as much as I don't agree with that decision because it's important for Williams to develop, at the same time, I mean, look at what happened last week in Minnesota. He was leaning on the bench because he was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And you don't want to risk any more serious injury. I mean, and especially think of it this way. Ryan Bates just got put on injured reserve for the rest of the season because the last few weeks he's been in concussion protocol and he's been banged up most of the year. And then also Doug Kramer, who they line up at fullback in some of those goal line packages, was a backup offensive lineman. He's doubtful because all of a sudden he hurt his shoulder. Now, he wasn't in the injury report at all during the week. He practiced. He didn't pop up in any of the injury reports. And now, you know, 24 hours before the game yesterday, they're saying, oh, hey, he's doubtful because he hurt his shoulder. So, you know, I mean, you just take a look at, you know, some of these injuries. And like I said, you know, you don't want to risk Caleb getting more banged up than he already is. But at the same time, I understand why the Bears want to keep him out there. They want to see what he does positively, what he does negatively. So that when the next coaching staff comes in, they have film to look at and they can kind of evaluate and go from there. Of course, obviously.
But you got to protect him, too.
And that's all part of the evaluation. I honestly believe that when the Bears draft next season, their first two picks for sure are going to be on the offensive line because that is a position that has to be addressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, like a Kieran Amagaji last week was just dismal. He, you know, was missing blocks. He was committing penalties. He just looked so out of place.
And the Bears need to figure out how to show up for the first half of the game.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how much they've trailed off since Thomas Brown was named interim head coach. I mean, obviously, we look at the mistakes and the miscues that cost Matt Eberflus his job, but the Bears were not being pushed around like they have been these last couple of weeks since Eberflus was fired. When Eberflus was on the sidelines, the Bears were competitive every week, with the exception of the Arizona game and the New England game. So, you know, just that drop off in performance since Eberflus was fired, you know, kind of really just shows you that
it wasn't just him,
right?
In fact, we were watching the game, and you turned to me, Steve, and you said, I wonder if Eberflus is saying, hey, everybody, you see, it wasn't just me.
And is the fact that the Bears have done so bad since Eberflus left, is this going to make it a little easier for him to find a gig someplace else?
Get another job.
Hey, it wasn't just me.
I still think that he'll find a position as either a defensive coordinator or some other type of assistant. I don't see him getting a head coaching job anytime soon. But I will say this. I know Bears fans were disappointed when Bill Belichick decided to go coach college football and take the job in North Carolina for next year.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to come to the Bears. And I'll tell you why. One, he's going to command a lot of money. And, you know, usually you don't want to pay coaches as much as your players. But Bill Belichick has that reputation where he has proven results. And the other thing, too, you know, Belichick was also the general manager of the New England Patriots. And the Bears are not going to give him any type of authority like that. So it just wouldn't have worked out. I would have loved to have him here, but when you take a look at the way the Bears operate, it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. So do you think this is going to be a bloodbath at noon?
I will say I do think the Bears will still lose. I don't see them winning a game for the rest of the season. Sorry, Bears fans, it's just that bad. But
yeah.
I look at what happened with Detroit last week and how they struggled against, you know, Detroit's supposed to be one of the top teams in the league, but they struggled against an equally good team in Buffalo because they're shorthanded as well.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of injuries to deal with too, so I think that'll give the Bears a chance to be a little more competitive, but I still say Detroit wins the game.
Just a pile of you-know-what.
Oh,
we woke up, Hamp.
You woke him up. And they've got to come back and play on Thursday.
Yeah, they got to come back and play Thursday. And since I'll be anchoring Thursday night, I got to navigate around that traffic. But, you know, they're going to be playing Seattle. And that was a game that I honestly saw them having a chance at winning. Seattle has had its issues as well, but they're still in playoff contention. And, you know, coming back on that short week. And again, when you take a look at the injuries, you know, what are the Bears, you know, how's that going to work? Are they going to be 100%? Probably not. But. So this next week is certainly going to be interesting, and let's just hope it's not too disastrous.
Come in our living room and tear us apart.
Which is probably what will happen.
Yeah.
And then they have a 10-day gap before they play that final game against the Packers on the 5th of January.
Right, because when they play on Thursday, that technically starts the next week. So then you still have, you know, the Sunday and Monday games to come after that. So perhaps they can use that extra time to heal up from whatever injuries that they have. But again, I don't see them winning any more games the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. On a not so serious note, I saw a Facebook post yesterday from a diehard Bear fan. I mean, the guy's had season tickets, I guess, for the last 30 years. And he said, I'm telling you, if things were right in this world, Staley would walk out on the field and just off himself right there, just sacrifice. And I'm thinking, Staley? Who's Staley? What player is this? What are you talking about? I did not know until Saturday when I was reading my Facebook posts that Staley is the Bears mascot's name.
Correct. The Bears, when they were first founded, they were called the Decatur Staleys.
So that's where
that comes from.
Because immediately I'm thinking, oh, this is weird. This dude's talking about some player going out and killing himself on the field.
What is that? Yeah, I mean that is a little extreme, but it's the mascot he's referring to.
But I can understand the sentiment.
I was Saturday days old when I learned that the mascot's name was Staley the Bear. Or Da Bear. Wow.
I don't think he's been around for that long. I can't remember when exactly the Bears started having Staley at games. I know it wasn't too terribly long ago. So that's
it would be funny if Staley was seen though on the sidelines crying, like he had his hands fisted up in his eyes and he's just like rubbing his eyes like
Or if he just starts tossing all the Gatorade containers.
Just get really crazy.
Okay, Gabe, now here's the important question. What's your go-to snack for Sunday afternoon watching the game?
You know, I'm not quite sure because I'll probably be wrapping up Christmas presents during that game.
Mm-hmm. So no fried chicken.
As will I.
So I'm not sure.
I want fried chicken so bad. I'm just like fixated on fried chicken. So I think I might fry chicken for the game. How's that?
That sounds good.
I would love that.
Fried chicken. Beyond unacceptable.
Probably because buffalo wings are more of a football thing.
But, that's true. Yes.
But fried chicken doesn't sound too bad. Get some good barbecue sauce going with it.
Yes, hot sauce. Oh, I love some
now I'm getting
hot sauce.
The Chicken Jones going before we go home.
I'm gonna have to fry chicken when I get home just to get rid of so we can sleep.
You're gonna stay up till 6 a.m. frying
yes,
chicken.
You know what? We stay up till 6 every Sunday morning anyway because we get home and I think, oh, I'm so tired. Like last week, I hit a wall about 1:30 and I ran out of words. And I just got giggly, and I got home, and I woke up, and I said, wait a minute, it's daylight, and I'm still awake.
Literally, we were just heading to bed, and the sun was coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually, by the time I get home, it usually takes me anywhere from like 30 minutes to an hour to fall
asleep.
Yeah.
You got to unwind. Maybe even if it's a quiet night, it's just still unnatural to be up all night.
Well, say that again!
We need to stop waking these guys up. They're not going to have any energy for the pregame show.
I don't think they sleep.
This season they probably don't sleep much.
I can't wait to hear the pre and post game. I cannot wait because they will hit the ground screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Your ears will hurt.
Yes, and you just know that the
sometimes
veins,
we don't even have the radio on, and we can still hear them.
And the veins in their neck are just pulsating.
I can't tell you, like, I don't always get to catch the pregame, but after every game, the first thing I think of is, man, how loud are they going to yell this time?
Yes, and
I love to watch the video.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just waiting for the day that they just trash the studio because they're just so angry.
Yeah.
Because I always have food in here, and I could just see food against the windows where they just throw it against
the windows. How dare you? How dare you?
They don't like that we're accusing them of such behavior now.
That's right. As if. All right. Are you going to give us a score? You're just opting for no. It's too painful.
I'm going to go Lions 24, Bears 10.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Gabe. We will talk to you soon with another news update.
And I'm just going Lions 24.
Yes. That's Gabe with Sports Between the Sheets.
We got more coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of the songs that we have to play. Because it ain't Christmas.
That's right.
Unless you hear Nat King Cole. The Christmas song. Fascinating to realize that song was written in the middle of July.
Yes, we just learned that, or at least I did. I'm just a sponge soaking up all this fascinating minutia. Yeah, I was shocked that that was written in July. I'm going back to our conversation about Joe Martin writing. Yeah. My Dream of Christmas, written in July as well.
But it's interesting, the number of Christmas classics that were either written or recorded in July, August.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked to performers before who've done Christmas albums and they have to record them in the winter months. And I don't recall off the top who it was that said that she required that the studio, might have been Susie Boggess, that the studio decorate with a Christmas tree and some lights and such to get in the mood to be able to sing those songs.
Well, in 1957, Elvis, and this is around the time he was doing Jailhouse Rock, they wanted to come out with a Christmas album, so he wound up recording that in July.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like Susie, he insisted that they put Christmas trees in the studio to try and get him in the mood.
Yep. I could see how that works. Well, speaking of Christmas, I have been giving recipes, gluten-free recipes, over the past few weeks, actually since just before Thanksgiving. And one of the recipes that I wanted to share with you tonight is part of a video that we put together a few years ago, and it's a video with an explanation of some Christmas sweets that you could make gluten-free, and you get to see pictures of them. And one of those things is a candy that looks like a pinwheel candy, which is in fact made out of mashed potatoes.
And it's so good.
It is really, really good. And I'll be sure that the recipe is posted, because it's super simple. It's fun. No one knows that it's mashed potatoes. So if you have leftover mashed potatoes and you don't want to fry up two or three potato pancakes because it's just not enough, if you have a half cup of mashed potatoes, plain mashed potatoes, and you have a half a cup of butter and 6 to 7 cups of powdered sugar and a little bit of vanilla extract, you mix all that up together, and it makes a wonderful, kind of a thick, I would kind of liken it to, oh gosh, the name escapes me, the almond paste. Play-Doh. It's got a consistency like Play-Doh. It's not sticky or anything. Yeah. And you roll it out, and then you just slather your peanut butter on it. And then once you have the sheet of dough, which is mashed potatoes with powdered sugar and butter.
Do you realize how hungry I am for some of these right now?
And then you slather your peanut butter on it, and then you just gently start at one end, and you roll, roll, roll. Mm-hmm. Then you, with a sharp knife, you slice the pinwheels, and you can get, a few dozen slices out of a half a cup of potatoes. It's a really yummy little bite-sized treat that looks good. So if you're putting together a combo of Christmas goodies on a tray, add your mashed potato pinwheels. Really, really good stuff. It's kind of an old Southern recipe. It's a great way to use your leftover mashed potatoes, too, and so very tasty.
And if you want to get our gluten-free recipes, easiest way to do it, just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And on the right-hand side of the page, you will see this. It's a big menu, and it has recent posts, then it has archives going back years. And you scroll down, and you get to categories. And then just click on gluten-free diet, and you will see a ton of posts that have recipes and gluten-free diet information and all kinds of things.
Right. And the particular Christmas goodies is in a video where you will actually see what the finished product looks like with an explanation of those things. We'll take a break now here on WGN.
Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright. says beware.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Yeah, now it's official.
Yeah, remember Orion would walk in and say, well, now it's Christmas.
Yep. Bing Crosby. I'm curious. Julian, does that song by Bing Crosby resonate with you at all?
Oh, yeah. Definitive Christmas song.
Okay. All right. Because some people may not realize that at one point, that was the largest selling record ever. Because initially, when it came out in the movie Holiday Inn, and then a subsequent movie titled White Christmas, it was a hit, and then it became a perennial Christmas hit for years. Literally, for decades, it would be the number one song every December. And it was, I want to say it was until, I believe it was Paul McCartney's Yesterday that finally overtook it as the best-selling record song ever. But that's, yeah, Derbingle, as he used to be called. By the way, we should point everybody over to our Facebook page for a bunch of things. Facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you'll see a whole bunch of things, starting with our drive into the station, and then the pictures that Johnny posted of the fireworks, then the pictures of the Christmas gift giving we had, and then one of our listeners sending a great picture from Maine. Then Johnny posted a link for the Bell and Howell link. Mm-hmm. For the plug-in device that you can get to keep critters away from your car, yeah. Your tech stuff, whatever.
Your bedroom, your kitchen. You get 8 in this package for a little over $35. Mm-hmm. They're available on Amazon.
And they're not a sponsor, but we can just tell you, they work. We have used them, and oh boy, do they work.
They worked for us. And when you said that when we plug them in, we can see critters scattering in Florida, in our carport, what we're seeing are the lizards, the geckos, I think they're annoles, A-N-N-O-L-E-S, not technically geckos, but they're little lizardy things, and they're against the white wall and the white ceiling, and when you plug them in, you see them just dart. They get out of there.
And we couldn't hear anything, but apparently there is some frequency that keeps critters away, and this is in our carport. It's an outside carport, and we have had no problems with critters getting under the hood of our car and
again,
chewing the wires.
Knock on wood, because that was a nightmare. We literally had our car fixed and rewired, brought it home.
At a cost of about $1,500.
Brought it home, and my dad was over for dinner, and we said, come with us. We'll show you. Because they had chewed up the padding that was underneath the hood. Mm-hmm. And when we opened the hood to show him the rewiring that had occurred, it had happened again within 48 hours. So we were just baffled as to what in the world are we going to do. So out of desperation, we got everything from the spray to spray around the vehicle to...
And that really didn't work.
Yeah, well, maybe the combination.
It's like a fox...
It was fox pee.
Yeah.
The only package that I have ever lost from Amazon, it never, ever came to our house, was a bottle of fox pee that I had ordered to put around our car that we parked outside here in Chicago.
Yep.
And I saw the place that it was delivered. And to this day, I wonder, what did those people think when they received a bottle of fox pee?
Anonymous fox pee deliveries.
Yeah. It's like, really?
Anyhow, so we were frustrated and did a lot of research. and discovered this Bell & Howell product that it's basically you just plug it in. And this has been several years now, and we haven't had any recurrence.
Right.
It really works. And for keeping critters away from, because in the winter, colder months in particular, they want to get someplace warm. You've just parked your car in the driveway. It's warm under the hood, and they're protected against the snow. They're going to climb under there and have a good time. This really keeps them away. And also, for people who are in the situation that our neighbor was in, where they had to replace their TV because a critter got in the house and chewed up the cords and chewed up the wires, and they needed to get a new surge protector and a new TV. So
a listener had an interesting take on that. He said, I wonder if they had popped off the back of that TV, if they would have found that a fuse had blown and that the TV could have been salvaged. Well, who knows how to do that?
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we would have called a TV repairman out for that.
And it would have cost more money to get it repaired than it did to replace it.
Probably nowadays, so. Yeah. Yeah.
But then also on our Facebook page, you just posted the video that we did that explains your gluten-free Christmas goodies.
Mm-hmm. It's a video we did a few years ago, and it includes the recipe I talked about tonight, the peanut butter potato, the mashed potato peanut butter pinwheels. I like the alliteration there. And the listener said, do you think you could use Idaho instant potatoes? To which I said, well, when you mix them up, they're just like potatoes.
Yeah.
So if you add the sugar and the butter and a little bit
probably.
Of vanilla, it should work out fine. So I asked if they would try it and report back to me next week, because that would be a super simple way to get down to business, so you don't have to make up a mess of mashed potatoes.
And another thing that Johnny just posted at Facebook, so facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, the Mickey Mouse cabinet knobs in our kitchen.
My Christmas present, early Christmas present. I wanted to get them up and show them off when people are at the house over the holidays. Yes, I had black ceramic knobs on the white cabinets, and lo and behold, there are Mickey heads that are available. And I absolutely adore them. So you'll see that picture, and then you'll see a picture, kind of a better sense of all the Mickey that's It's exploded in our kitchen.
I'm hearing something in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And the lights are starting to flicker.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting dangerously close.
There it comes. Yeah.
It's Big Bob.
Yeah.
Big Plug Bob on his Zamboni. So that's the signal that it's time for our last call. If you would like to be our last caller before Christmas, 312-981-7200. That number again, 312-981-7200. And as long as you haven't won any prizes from this here radio place within the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you could be a winner. And you don't have to have anything pithy to talk about. You also don't need to tell us about cryptocurrency.
Well, the only crypto we want to know about is Superman's dog.
Yes.
That's the only one.
So 312-981-7200 is the number. And
I've just been reminded that, Julian, we have pictures of everybody's gifts, but we don't have a picture of you with yours. So before the night is over, we have to get a picture of you to add to the gift-giving hour.
Yeah.
Will do.
Okay. So we will do that, but we will see if we can get a last call. The lines are jammed up already.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a break and come back with our last call on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day.
my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here.
Nope, 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 nope. Can't stay here. The whole cult can't stay here. And no, we're not. We want to stay on Santa's good list, so we're not going to play all of the closing song by Red Peters. But if you want to hear all of the closing song by Red Peters, you can look them up on YouTube, and you will find a whole lot of stuff that we're not going to play on the radio. By the way, we should mention next week, which will be our last show for 2024.
Yes.
Wow.
Coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah. Next.
Technically, this coming week would be your 40th anniversary at this here radio station. Tuesday night.
You're right.
Will be your 40th anniversary.
Because it was Christmas Eve.
You were 12. They let you work late.
1984, Christmas Eve, I filled in for Bob Collins on the afternoon shift on this radio station.
I was at home wrapping presents, waiting to hang on to every word. This was so exciting. I get a knock at the door. I open the door, and our neighbor upstairs, who was a Chicago police officer, said, "I've been locked out." I said, "Well, come on in." And I'm in the kitchen, wrapping presents at the kitchen table, and he talked for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't know one word that you said.
Well, you didn't hear it until I brought a cassette.
Yes. And we sat in the car and listened to it on the cassette, because I said, "I don't know what you did."
And that was the beginning of 40 years ago. I forgot about that, Christmas Eve.
It's crazy. Were you nervous? So, do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I was nervous for you, so.
Yeah. So, 40 years, wow. So, next week will be our last show of 2024. And we'll have a full show. Patrick Christman will be joining us in studio, as will our grandson, Joseph. And next week's going to be one of those rare weeks, but it's an end-of-the-year thing where we're going to have Patrick in studio and we're going to be talking with Tom Appel.
Right.
And we'll have some other surprises for you, too.
Tom's got a lot of things to talk about, too, as he looks forward to the best of 2024 and what's coming out in 2025. So we'll have some fun with that, too.
I'm trying to see if there's any other notes. No, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we should jump to our last caller.
Okay, who's got the responsibility of choosing? Let's let Julian do it, since he did so well last week.
Yeah, Julian.
No.
Feel no pressure, Julian.
Come on.
Let's hope I can redeem myself. Jerry, you want to redeem me here?
Hey, Jerry.
Is that me?
That's you, Jerry.
That would be you, Jerry. Where are you calling from, Jerry?
I'm saying Julian.
No.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
I used to listen to you on that station at the end of the dial. Was that in the 1980s?
Yes.
You did the overnights.
No, wait, no. Oh, you're talking about the left.
The Whiff and Poop song.
The left end of the dial.
The left end of the dial, yes.
You're talking about WIND, sure.
Yeah.
The station where we met, yes.
And they played the Whiff and Poop song. Was that 1 or 2 in the morning?
2 o'clock in the morning.
It was just before 2 o'clock, and it was done because it was a signal to the students at Northwestern that they needed to get in.
Or they'd be locked out.
Or they'd be locked out. That was something that had started years before I got there. And everybody treated it almost as if it was a hymn. And I had to remind them, it's a drinking song.
And they would get all excited, like, "Oh, you played a Spike Jonze version. That's so disrespectful." Yeah? It's a dreadful piece of music.
And there was a great local blues band called the Whole Note Blues Band that did a great instrumental version. I'm going to have to dig that up because I've got a copy of that in my file someplace.
So what were you doing, Jerry, up in the middle of the night back in the day?
Well, Steve, I don't know if you remember it. What years was that?
That was roughly 1982 through 84-ish.
I used to do a wrap-up at the end of your program.
Huh?
And I used to talk to your producer, Cheryl Morton.
Yes.
Whatever happened to her?
Oh, Cheryl is still in the Chicago area.
She was very active at Columbia College in the radio and TV department. She was one of the instructors and one of the heads of the department. And then they stopped that department, ironically.
Cheryl was one of the people who helped get Johnny and me together.
That's true, yeah. And a number of the producers that worked at this work at this radio station were students of hers at Columbia College.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some memories.
Yeah, really. So you would check in with her at the end of the...
Well, I would call in and chat with her.
Uh-huh.
And but there was a guy named Lenny Kent who used to do a wrap-up at the end of the Carson show. And I kind of copied that, and I did it at the end of some of your shows.
Oh, I remember this. And I'm trying to think what we called it. Oh, because I had a nickname for you, didn't I?
Well, if you did, I hope you didn't say it on the air.
But I do remember that, yes.
You know what I just thought of? Tiger.
And I became friends with Cheryl, and I used to talk to her when she wasn't on the air.
Well, I'm going to tell her that we talk to you because we're Facebook friends. We stay in touch that way. Mm-hmm. I was just reminded of a character. You may remember this guy, Jerry. His name was Tiger Lyons.
Oh, of course.
He was a regular on the air. Remember? He would call in with this goofy trivia, and it was really obscure. And
he would always sign off by saying, something. Well, that's enough of this fol-de-rol and Google.
Yes, and Google. Long before there was Google, he was talking Google. Yeah. Funny guy. We had a number of those characters. That's what the all-night show would do for you. You get these great people like Jello Judy that called you when she wanted to take a bath.
Literally. Julian, cover your ears. You're too young to hear this. This girl named Judy called in one night, and she wanted to know how you could get a bathtub full of Jello to congeal because her and her boyfriend wanted to find out what this would be like. And I was amazed. Within 2 minutes, the lines were jammed with people who knew how to get a full bathtub full of Jello to congeal.
Oh, good times. So what are you up to these days, Jerry?
Well, it's 40, 45 years later.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 84 years old.
Well, you're a kid.
God bless you.
You're a kid.
We're still here, as we say, when we pitch for it, last caller, we say, as long as you can sit there and hold a phone, you're doing good.
Well, I'm still in luck. I used to listen to Eddie Schwartz on the overnight.
Sure.
Sure. And when he came over to this radio station, then I was the person over there with Norman Mark. You remember the name Norman Mark?
Of course.
Yeah.
Radio TV critic.
He sure was, yeah.
With the Chicago Daily News initially.
Yeah. And then he kind of transitioned into film criticism, too. Jerry, it's a pleasure catching up with you. We will be so proud to see you wearing a WGN T-shirt. And you're going to get one of those in the mail, an official logo T-shirt from us here at WGN.
It's great to hear from you. And let Julian know if you're on Facebook, and we'll try to share some information with you and Cheryl so maybe you two could connect, too.
Well,
wow, this has gone by fast.
Yes, it's been fun. It's been so much fun. And thank you all for our Super Saturday, the last Saturday before Christmas, hanging out with us.
Have a wonderful Christmas. Have a happy Hanukkah.
Yep.
Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.